Hey everybody, what's going on? Rob Cesternino here, and I'm very excited for today's show. This should be a lot of fun. I've been really looking forward to this podcast today with Dr. Mike Zahalski joining us here on the line. Should be a lot of fun with Dr. Mike. If you're a fan of Dr. Mike, if you've been following Dr. Mike, you know that there may be some adult conversations happening on this podcast. So just a heads up for anybody who is listening in a work situation, unless it's Dr. Mike's office or with kids around. So just a heads up about all that. I got a couple of quick things to tell you about. I know a lot of you guys are going to be itching to hit that 30 seconds forward, 30 seconds forward button until you hear Dr. Mike's voice. But maybe it's worth your while to stick around and hear what I have to say today. Of course, we have, in addition to talking with Dr. Mike, we're going to call Josh Wiggler and also get our results of the final wand off. Of course, we'll try to keep that wand off news to the end of the podcast. So just a heads up that that is going to be in play here today. If you missed any of my previous long form interviews, I did a great long interview with both Ben and with Chrissy earlier this month, last week and the week before, respectively. Those are all up on the website. Of course, you could just click on the Survivor tab to get easy access to those if you miss them. In addition, I thought we had a really fun podcast the other day, an off-season podcast, talking about some of the most crazy post-Survivor media appearances that players have made. That's also up on robhasawebsite.com. Gotta thank a sponsor for this episode of the podcast, and those are our friends over at Beachbody On Demand. Beachbody On Demand. I have been on Beachbody On Demand for over a year now. I started it as my New Year's resolution back in 2017, and I think that it is the best way to go if you are a busy person. You can't get out to the gym, got a busy schedule, kids, work, whatever. Beachbody On Demand allows you unlimited access to a wide variety of highly effective world-class workouts personalized to meet your needs in the comfort of your own home. There's minimal equipment involved. You could get started with body weight or things with resistance bands. I've got a bunch of dumbbells here for what I do. I actually started doing a new program this January. It's called Body Beast, and I love it. And I've been out there just about every single morning this month. I used to do all the P90X stuff, but now I do Body Beast. The instructor is this guy named Sagi, I think is his name. He's actually like a little too ripped. I'm going to stop doing it before. I don't need to be as jacked as he is. I'll probably stop before I ultimately get to that level. But Beachbody On Demand has something for everybody, whether you're looking for cardio, weight training. They've got all the brands, Pyo, P90X, Insanity, 21 Day Fix, T25, 3-week yoga retreat with Vitas Puskauskas, not a joke, accessible on your computer, web-enabled TVs, tablets, smartphone. You could do it on the road. Even if you don't hit it every day, it's there when you need it and much more affordable than going to the gym. They've got a great offer for the listeners of our podcast. You can give it a try for free. Just text the word Rob to 303030, and that'll get you full access to the entire platform for free. All the workouts and nutritional information for a free trial of Beachbody On Demand. Just text the word Rob to 303030. I happen to know for a fact that Dr. Mike and even Barry have played around on the Beachbody On Demand. So he's just texted me and talked about how they were doing a bunch of stuff on there. So check it out, Beachbody On Demand. All right. So I told you guys, if you hung out here, I had something for you. And so I do have some news about a upcoming event this spring. The Rob is a Podcast patrons have been in the know for a bit on this one, but there has been a clamor for some time for the Survivor Know-It-Alls, that would be myself and Stephen Fishback even, to come out to Boston, Massachusetts for a live show. And I have a date and some ticket information for you if you want to join us on the night of April 25th, 2018. We're going to be at Laugh Boston, and we are going to be watching Survivor and recording the Know-It-Alls podcast right after. Should be a great crowd. We will have a lot of the local Boston Survivors in attendance. Brett LaBelle, Jeremy and Val should be there. We're trying to get Rodney, Michelle Fitzgerald, all of the Boston crowd hopefully will be there in attendance. Even Nick Yadanza is coming in from Australia for this one. If you hurry, If you hurry, you may still be able to get a ticket. Go to robhasawebsite.com/KIA Boston. If you're listening to this on Friday, you have a chance, okay? robhasawebsite.com/KIA Boston. It's about 280 seats. This will be a sellout, and it will be a sellout very soon. robhasawebsite.com/KIA Boston for our first ever know-it-alls in Boston, Massachusetts. I'm also going to be out in Reno for a Run It Up Reno in late March, so be on the lookout for some information on that as well coming up. All right, everybody. Let's bring in the man of the hour today. I'm very excited about this highly anticipated interview on Rob as a Podcast. And I think that it is no more highly anticipated by the person I'm going to be speaking with today. He is, of course, one of the standouts from Survivor 35, my good friend, Dr. Mike Zahalski.
What's going on, guys? How are you, Rob?
Dr. Mike, I'm so excited to finally be here to talk with you on this interview today.
I am excited as well. This is awesome.
Yes.
I mean, when you think about going on Survivor, you really just think about how can I get on Rob Has a Podcast?
No, you didn't even know Rob Has a Podcast existed before you went on Survivor.
Yeah, I thought it was Josh Wigler had a podcast.
You had no idea. Like,
I thought you were Boston Rob. No, I didn't really think you're Boston Rob.
Maybe Ryan, Ulrich, and Rourke, I think, might have been the only two people that even knew that I existed before you guys ended up going to go play.
No, Joe and Desi definitely listened a little bit.
Well, after they probably Googled Survivor after they applied.
Yes, probably.
Yeah. And then they
I think if I had listened to more, I think I would have done better.
Or worse. You know, you never know.
You never know.
Yeah. Anyway, so Dr. Mike, I know how you've been because we're in very regular communication. But that for the listeners who have not been keeping up with you, what's the last month been like?
The last month. So since the finale, we went on vacation in California. It was great. We were able to relax. And then I got back to work. And, you know, as you know, before we go here. Is this podcast rated anything? Am I allowed to talk in the terms that I usually speak in?
Yes. Or? Okay. So are you going to be speaking in like clinical terms or do you need to use adult language? Is that the question? Because it's your podcast. This is your interview. So let's just set what the ground rules are now. And then people know, okay, well, I have kids in the car. People that have kids in the car probably aren't going to be listening to a Dr. Mike podcast. I think that people kind of know your brand already, but let's just set up the ground rules up front.
Yeah, I think that probably most of my stuff will be clean-ish, maybe PG-13-ish.
Yes.
But, if you guys think, like, the Jenny and Colin it'll be as bad as the song. It won't be worse than the song.
It won't be worse than the song. Okay. So there you go.
With the end in sight, can Mike rise to the occasion?
Yes. We'll find out. We'll find out here today.
Yes. I was hoping to hear a little BB, me being stung by wasps intro here.
Okay, so
you have your finger on the button there.
Yeah, we're ready to go, Dr. Mike. So we have a lot to get to today. So let me just before we talk about Survivor, I'd like to just get a little bit more about your background, if we could, because that I don't really know a lot of your backstory in terms of you. At one point, you and your lovely wife Barry were living in New York and stalking Ethan Zahn. But where are you from? Are you from New York?
Okay, so first, we never stalked Ethan Zahn, or at least I didn't. You would have to ask Barry. So I was born in Brooklyn. Actually, Barry and I were born at the same hospital, years apart.
Mm-hmm.
I grew up in Sarasota, Florida. Went to college and med school at Brown. Did a residency in New York at Beth Israel, and then fellowship in sexual dysfunction and infertility in Boston. And then moved down to Florida and started a practice here in Broward County. And now I do run the largest urology practice in Broward County.
Okay.
So I have my hands full on a daily basis. Now, that being said, the Ethan story, which is obviously out there,
mm-hmm.
was that, we've watched Survivor since the last episode of the first season, and we were hooked on the show. So we, you know, we enjoyed the show and we loved Ethan's on. And so one day my wife and I don't even know if we were married at that point. What year did that one air? I got married in 2001.
Okay. So it started airing in 2001.
Okay. So my wife and I are talking and, you know, like I was clearly in love with Sarah Michelle Gellar. Maybe she'll listen to the podcast. Probably she doesn't.
Mm-hmm.
And, but I mean, if she does, tweet me. I mean, DM me.
Yeah.
In any event, I told my wife one day, Sarah Michelle Gellar, she's my hall pass. And my wife is like, okay, well then Ethan Zahn's my hall pass. And soon after we discovered that Ethan lived a few blocks away from us.
Mm-hmm.
And I was always like, what are these things? Like my hall pass lives in California. And we now started seeing your hall pass on the street at the bagel store. And she's like, you just picked a bad hall pass. So I told this story in casting.
Yeah.
And the conclusion of the story is years later, we name our son Ethan. And basically after Ethan's on, and I'm just glad that he doesn't look like Ethan, that he looks like me, which he does.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, you got to imagine the casting people are cracking up and they're like, oh my gosh, I can't wait for Ethan to hear this story. We can't wait to tell him. And so lo and behold, now Ethan and I have become friends on, and literally we text each other every day.
Mm-hmm.
It's actually very entertaining.
Wait, so you're better friends with Ethan than you are with me?
I have no comment, Rob.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yeah. You know, Ethan FaceTimed my wife for her birthday. She was very excited about that. Did you do that, Rob?
Did I FaceTime Barry for her birthday? No, I did not.
Yeah. I mean, come on.
But did Barry want a FaceTime from me?
You wouldn't know.
I wouldn't know. Oh, I know. Bro, I know.
She does. I'm still waiting to have dinner with you.
Okay, so who started watching Survivor first? You or Barry?
I think Barry started watching it first.
And she got you into it.
I actually think here's Mike Z's relationship advice: mm-hmm. A family should watch TV together.
Yes,
I mean TV is such an integral part of our society mm-hmm. that I think you need to watch TV together. So it's like
a family or a couple.
A couple.
Okay.
So like we started dating, and it's a Sunday afternoon, and my wife's like, "Hey, look, like." Well, I mean, you talked about this on your Love Know-It-Alls. Like, we moved in together for the summer. And my wife's like, it's Sunday. We're going to watch Lifetime.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, we're watching what? We're watching a Lifetime movie? No. And she's like, we're watching a Lifetime movie. And you have this decision to make. You're going to go in the other room and watch something else. Or you're going to force her to be miserable, which means that probably you're not getting any action later. Or you're going to sit there and watch Lifetime. And I sat there and watched Lifetime. And I think because of that, we're happily married now.
Okay.
Or at least she tolerates me.
She tolerates you. That's really the best you could hope for. And at some point, you had this idea of going on Survivor. Had you applied for Survivor before you ended up in the mix here for Survivor 35?
No. I had never applied before to Survivor. So every year, I mean, a lot of people do a lot of things in the shower. I don't do that in the shower. When I'm in the shower, I told you, Rob, she's giving me the funny looks.
Yes.
I told you she was giving me the funny looks when I say the stupid things. And
funny
exactly
looks like, hey, Mike,
right.
You're killing it. Like thumbs up.
No, funny looks like, Mike, you're a moron.
Hey, block that out. Just block that out.
Yeah.
Mike.
I mean, it's hard. I live with her. I'm like every day I'm in the shower and I'm thinking, what am I going to say on my Survivor video? And for years, I just sort of thought, you know what? I wouldn't actually win Survivor. I would maybe make it far, maybe make it to the final three, but there's no way I would win Survivor. And one day I came out of the shower and was like, this is it. I'm 42 years old, 42, the answer to life, the universe, and everything. And I'm going to win Survivor. And that's how I'm going to start my Survivor video.
Mm-hmm.
And I went downstairs and I said, Barry, I want to apply to Survivor and I'm going to win. And she's like, Mike, you're not going to win Survivor.
Mm-hmm.
And so like any good husband, I went to my office then and made a video, second take of the video. I sent it in and I think I actually even forgot to even tell her that I applied. And 9 months later, I got a phone call from Caitlin and was like, are you serious? You want to be on Survivor? I'm like, sure. Is this Survivor calling me or is this a joke?
Yeah.
And lo and behold, now, I started cheering and running around and hooting and hollering and the rest is downhill from there.
What did you say in the video?
I mean, am I allowed to show you my video? Like, am I allowed to post that? I don't know.
I don't think it's an issue. I mean, maybe if you want to just double check and then, you know, share it. But I'm sure people would love to hear it. But why don't you just tell us the gist of what you said in the video?
The gist, I mean, like I said before, 42, the answer to life, universe, and everything. That's how old I am. And I'm going to win Survivor. And that's how old the next Survivor winner is. Mm-hmm. And then I went out. So that was like the
opening. That was it? That's what they liked?
No. So what I said to them is that I said a few things. One, I said that I speed date for a living because I'm a sex doctor. And I walk into rooms and I make people feel very comfortable enough to, with me mm-hmm. in the first 30 seconds of meeting me that they're willing to tell me their most intimate things about their life
yes.
and show me their genitals.
Mm-hmm.
And the other things I said, which I think they liked, was that Survivor has changed society for the better in that, you know, there are a lot of dogs named Colby and a lot of kids named Ethan. And you've talked about that on your show.
Yes.
And that's because of Survivor.
Mm-hmm.
And that Survivor has really invented the millennial generation. So Survivor and the internet.
Wait, Survivor invented the millennial generation because they did a season yeah. called Millennials versus Gen X?
No, because Survivor and the internet boom occurred sort of at the same time.
Yes.
And what happened was all of these kids grew up thinking that they can work pretty hard or just be on TV for a month and make okay. become a millionaire.
Got it.
And so it's like all these kids think like, it's always now about like, what's that next get rich quick scheme? Like, what can I do for a month? Because I'm going to lose my interest after a month where I can become a millionaire. Because that's what Survivor and The Amazing Race have taught me.
Right.
And okay. then it's like, maybe I could just invest in a dumb stock. Like, maybe I can invest in a stock. I have an idea. Why don't we invest? Why don't we throw all of our money in Bitcoin? You see, it's still going
Got it.
On.
Got it.
Like, so that's what Survivor has done.
This is interesting. So I think that we're confusing it by bringing millennials into it, because I think that this is even predates millennials. But you're saying that Survivor and reality TV changed American life and maybe even the world to that it used to be the answer was just like another millennial once said.
OK, high school, college, 9 to 5. Get a life.
And now the question is, how can I do this faster? What's the shortcut to success? And reality TV has really facilitated that, or at least that's the illusion and that's the attraction to reality TV for a lot of people.
I mean, I think you hit the nail on the head.
Yeah.
If I ever see that guy, by the way, I'm gonna pull a line out of Joe and I'm gonna say I'm gonna body slam that guy that said that. But
and you talked about this with Josh in First One Out, that you said that you're like the antithesis of that. You ended up, you're a self-made man, you started your practice, you had nothing, and you built up this very successful business, and then you almost said, hey, I'm going to put everything on hold so I can go pursue my dream of being on this show.
Exactly. I mean, so I came to Florida with less than $1,000 to my name. My wife is still mad at me because when we were married, for the first couple of years, I told her she couldn't buy the comforter she wanted because it was too expensive. It was like $150. And I was like, we can't afford a $150 comforter.
Yeah.
And we're still in a fight about that.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's like, but yeah, I think you saw it on the, you know, and I spoke to Jeff a little about the healers versus the hustlers. And it was sort of my strategy at the beginning and how I had to change it in that everything I did in life is planning. I went to college. I went to med school. I went to residency. I went to fellowship. All like basically I worked for 14 years just to make sure I would be successful in that 15th year
mm-hmm.
versus so I'm a planner. Like I took notes before this podcast, right? Like
yeah.
versus the hustlers that are sort of like, what's next? Okay. Like so here I am. I'm thinking about day 39. When really I got to be thinking about the next vote in front of me and the next vote in front of me, which is why and I think that's sort of healers versus hustlers, which is why I think the hustlers were able to pull it over on the healers at the merge. That we were like, it's just our nature versus their nature. And once I figured this out on the island, I sort of got into my groove of, okay, just survive one more vote. And really that last vote, I was like, I knew I was breaking my rule. And I was like, I'm setting myself up for I'm not going to vote for Devin tonight because I'm setting myself up for the final three. And if I had just done what I had told everybody I was going to do, I would have been there at final four.
You said a couple times during this season, and I too have gone back and done a lot of planning for this interview, and I watched all of your scenes from the season. You said on a couple of occasions that it was almost your mantra that you said in the show, never underestimate Dr. Mike. You've always been underestimated, you said. Can you give us an example of a time in your real life when you were underestimated?
No. I think the thing is that, I think that I work the best when people tell me I can't do something, right?
Yes. Like
my wife told me I'm not going to be on Survivor. I went and made a video and got on Survivor. Mm-hmm. That's sort of like, you know, what pushes people to do better. It's like that thing where when people tell you can't do it, I was going out there, I went out there. I'm clearly not the most physically fit guy. I was probably the least physically fit guy out there. And they just sort of looked at me and were like, and I was the oldest guy out there. And so they just sort of like, that's Dr. Mike over there. Like, and I've seen in a couple of these interviews, you start at day one. From day one, I was basically told, you're not like, you're the first one to go. It's that simple. And we're done with you.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, and so I kept having to convince, I was convincing myself, just like everybody else, don't forget about me. Don't underestimate me. I'm still here and I'm still playing this game.
Mm-hmm.
And actually, I think Chrissy might have mentioned it. That I think I was the first one to act, besides like we won the fire making challenge, that first challenge.
Yeah.
Like we won the fire making kit. Day two, the first fire made on our island, besides the fire making kit, was by me.
Mm-hmm.
Like
yeah.
I made it with a magnifying glass.
So this was something that actually came up a lot in the preseason stuff Josh did. Of course, the first one out series, the highly popular preseason report that Josh Wigler did on location in Fiji. And it came up many times. I believe even Jeff Probst talked about how Dr. Mike, he can make a fire with flint in less than a minute. And it was really the kind of thing in hindsight that you say, boy, if Dr. Mike would have been in there at the final four, you probably would have won that fire making challenge.
Rob, thanks. Thanks for rubbing it in.
I'm not rubbing it in. I'm saying,
well, why don't you just kick me in the groin again?
No, I'm just saying that. And I remember when we talked about it at the finale, you were one of the people that said you like this twist at the final four that you think you should have to make fire.
I think, going back into, to first one out, before we talk about the fire making challenge, I think, yes, I prepared to be on Survivor. I looked at Survivor like, I told you, I prepare for everything. But at the same time, like, we're not just going out there to play a game. It was like, you're going out there for $1 million. You have to treat this like the Super Bowl. And so I studied games. Like I started rewatching episodes. I should have known to listen to podcasts, which I didn't even know existed. Except for this one that Boston Rob has.
Hey.
But I
thank you, Dr. Mike.
That's good. I practiced fire every day for like 6 weeks. I was running. I was throwing bean bags. My problem with I was throwing bean bags into containers, and I'm quite good at that. I was doing hoops, but I only had hula hoops. So I didn't have little rings, and I should have bought some, which threw me off with that other challenge that Ryan and I were in together. I practice only throwing hula hoops, which is a little different than little rings. But no, I practiced, I listened to probably 90% of the Jeff Probst interviews over the last 10 years that he's ever given, to see what Jeff Probst, figuring he's like the coach. He's seen it all. He knows how to play this game. I listened to every one of his interviews.
And that's where you went wrong, Mike?
No, I think he had some good advice. I had the Jeff Probst rules of playing Survivor.
Yeah.
I now have the Mike Z rules of playing Survivor as well.
You should have bought the BR rule book from Amazon.
Does that exist?
Yeah, you see, you should have tweeted to me. I could have told you all this stuff.
If only I knew you existed.
If you knew I existed.
I mean, this all goes back to the fact that you weren't my wife's hall pass. See, if you were my wife's hall pass, then
I'm nobody's wife's hall pass.
Can I tell you a funny story?
Yeah.
So Johnny Fairplay one day calls me.
Oh boy.
And he's like, am I your wife's hall pass? And I'm like, no, Ethan's my wife's hall pass. He's like, can I be your wife's hall pass? And I'm like, am I your grandma's hall pass? And he never called me again.
I don't believe that.
100% true.
No, that's just the part that he never called you again. That's the part I don't believe.
Yeah, that's true. He does. He still calls me.
Yeah. Okay. So I guess let's talk about your game a little bit here.
I'm wearing my coconut shirt right now.
Yes. Okay. Well, let's talk about your relationship with your fellow coconut Joe, because you guys got off to a rocky start in the game. It was really an interesting relationship, especially to go back and watch all of it, because you guys seem like you get off really on the wrong foot. It feels like that you guys don't like each other. And then sort of out of the blue, that relationship changes and then you two love each other. So maybe you could just take us through a little bit of your relationship with Healer Joe.
Rob. Do we love each other? I mean, do we even like each other right now? I mean, I don't know. Joe's Joe. He's crazy. He's Coco.
Yeah.
I mean, that's what's the beauty of the relationship. I don't think either one of us actually knows if we even like each other now.
Yeah. But you like him, right?
He's Joe. Here's the thing. So what I don't real like, so pregame, I'm like, I am not good at lying and I'm not good at deceiving, apparently.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, my wife could have told you this, me this a long time ago. And so, you know, but Joe is like, I mean, he's a parole officer. He's used to watching people. So like pregame, I'm sitting there and I'm like, oh, look, that girl said hi to, like that girl, we can't say hi to each other. That girl smiled at me. Oh, like that guy like gave me the thumbs up, you know, like stuff like that. But Joe is sitting back and watching, was at a different level than me. Joe is sitting back and watching how Mike interacted with the other people, not just worrying about how he was interacting with the other people, which, do you follow that?
Yes.
That like he was playing at a different level at the beginning. Mm-hmm. So come to the marooning and we're all on the boat. I'm like, you know, my goal was to get the bags of peanuts because I knew peanuts would stay when you jump in the water and I would like, you know, peanuts can stay for a while and peanuts are good and they have good protein. So my goal was to get the peanuts, there were a couple of bags of them, and to look for an idol or an advantage on the marooning. Joe's goal was to watch who was looking for an advantage at the marooning,
mm-hmm,
and decide who the real players of the game are.
Yeah.
So Jeff says go. And according to Joe, the only people at that point that actually were playing the game and not worrying about food were Ryan and myself. And so we then end up on the beach together. And Joe's thinking to himself, there's only one other guy that's not a nincompoop on this tribe. That's Mike. So I got to target him.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I don't know any of that. And all I know is that literally 15 minutes into the game, Joe pulls me aside and is like, you're looking for an idol. I know you're looking for an idol. Empty your pockets. And starts yelling at me, getting in my face. And like, I want to laugh at him. And I want to be like, okay, are you just like playing this? Like, is Joe, you look at Joe and you know he's going to be a player. I want to say to him, like, are you just like playing this act and like, then we're really going to be in an alliance together? And he's like, no, like, I really don't like you. And you're really on the bottom. I'm like, you're a moron. Like, why are you doing this to me? Like, who causes conflict the first 15 minutes on the island? And Joe's like, that's my game, man. Mm-hmm. I'm the conflict causer. It's like, how is this going to lead you in a good direction?
Yeah. I think this is very interesting because I think that you two really come at the game from really opposite philosophic views on the game. You talked about a couple times about how this is like a representation of society. And you talked about a moral code of the game. And Joe, I believe, comes at it from the perspective of there is no moral code in this game. Maybe even, you know, from his experience with people that are incarcerated, it's almost like how you would come into if you were going to survive in jail, whatever it takes, that you got to just make sure that you are sort of like this dominant figure and that you guys end up being marooned together.
Yeah, you're right. I mean, I think Joe and I approach the game completely differently. From my perspective, I can't go out on the game and act like a moron. The entire world is watching me. I hold myself to a different level, whether I'm on an island playing Survivor or in my house or taking care of patients. Like, there has to be a certain, like, you never know what's going to air, right? And so, because you never know what's going to air, you have to hold yourself, or I had to hold myself to a certain level that I would not go below, that mm-hmm. I felt these are the decent moral standards and codes that anybody at any time should be with. And it's like, were we playing Survivor, or were we living Lord of the Flies, or were we playing the Hunger Games? I still haven't figured it out, you know? And maybe I should have been playing the Hunger Games.
Well, that's what's so interesting about the game is that you have somebody like yourself who comes into the game and you're talking about things like justifiable ethics. And then somebody like Joe who comes into the game and says, no, this is a game. There are no rules. I can say and do whatever I want. And he's not wrong. And you're not wrong. But you guys have to then play the same game together.
It's true. You're right. And I guess my question on that is, does anybody know if Joe had hit me there? Because I still wonder if he was about to hit me.
Yeah.
Would he have been thrown off?
Yes.
Like, if I pissed somebody off enough
if he to hit me. If he punched you or he attacked you in some way, then they would remove him from the game. That would be it.
Okay, what if he, like, stood over me with a machete while I was sleeping and just stood there staring at me?
Yeah, I think that they probably, I think there's some precedent for this. If you go back about 10 seasons from where we are now, and I think that they will probably end up pulling somebody from the game if they feel like they are going to harm the other players.
Okay, but I referred to Ben at some point as like Jason, like the villain that doesn't die, like the bad guy that doesn't die.
Yeah.
If there was a Jason out there, like, that just like kept like hacking things with the machete. Like, do you think that's a good strategy? Like, just scare everybody.
Yeah. Well, we kind of had that in the Amazon. I know that you don't remember my season, but we did have a guy who was really obsessed with sharpening his machete and it was off-putting.
Did he win?
No, he did get to the end. But we just thought, oh, he lost his mind.
Maybe it was just a strategy.
Yeah. Well, we had said for a long time, well, we don't want to vote him out because then when they count the votes, then he'll just kill us.
Exactly. It might be a good strategy. See, I got to come up with better strategies than Jeff's justifiable ethics, I guess.
Yes. So, okay, Joe ends up saying to everybody, okay, Mike, he's out there. He's looking for the idol. You talked about how your son, Ethan, told you to go out there and look for the idol. Did you realize that you were sort of in dire straits in the early days on the Healer Tribe?
Oh, yeah. I mean, for the Healer Tribe, I'm the only guy that's married out there. Mm-hmm. Like, I'm 10 years older than Joe and 14 or 15 years older than everybody else in the tribe. You know, my first sentence to Joe, I think, was, so Joe, you're going to think it's so funny. I'm sorry, Joe. I'm like, Joe, like, You have a couple kids? Like, are you married? He goes, no, I got two baby mamas and I'm looking for a third. And he turns and stares at Desi. You know, and he gives Desi like the side eye, like, hey, baby. I'm like, what? Who is this guy?
And, yeah.
You know, like, I mean, so then like you get like these, like we really like, and Joe talked about it, like we have the beach party on our tribe. Like there's Cole, mm-hmm. who's like, super hot that everybody wants to sleep next to because of his body warmth.
Literally super hot.
I think I never cuddled with Cole, mm-hmm. but the people on my tribe were fighting to cuddle with Cole. And then it's like, and Joe's like, I'm not cuddling with Mike. So
Why was Joe so fixated on your looks, Mike?
Well, no, I mean, I think just Joe didn't want to cuddle with me to keep warm. So like literally like Joe and I are like sleep, like Joe's sleeping like a foot away from the group and I'm sleeping like 5 feet away from him. And that's how we would sleep every night. And it was like, I'm on the outs. And so like there was, you know, Ethan told me to look for the idol. My wife told me not to do the puzzle in the first challenge because if I do it and I mess up, I'll lose. Like I'll get voted out. And
you didn't listen.
Well, they said to me, you know, I say this to them. I'm like, you know what? I don't know if I should really do the puzzle. And I think Desi looks at me and is like, Mike, if you don't do the puzzle and we lose, you're going home. Like, do the puzzle. Like, it's like, I'm like, okay, I'll do the puzzle.
Yeah. And you aced it. You aced that marble rolling down the maze, right?
The marble, like, yeah, Desi helped and we got the marble in the hole. Balls and holes. I'm pretty good at that,
yes.
I guess.
Well, because you, as a surgeon, the steady hand at the wheel, right?
Yeah, I get. Yeah, I mean, do you think you know? You use your feet a lot in surgery as well, and you have to be steady. And so, do you think I would have won that final four challenge? I don't know. Again, I feel like
I thought you were talking about when you almost won the reward because you were picking things up with your feet.
Don't get me started on that reward. I should have won that reward. That reward right there is where I lost the game. That reward. So I know we're skipping here, but that exact, like I've thought about this. I've analyzed this. If I had turned to Lauren and I are literally a row of blocks ahead of everybody else.
Okay.
And if I had just turned to her and said, Lauren, if you win, if I win, I'm taking you. If you win, take me. Lauren would have been like, all right, because that was Lauren's personality.
Yeah.
And then I would have been in that group of four that made all those fancy plans. Mm-hmm. Like if you talk to the Devins, you talk to the Ashleys, they were like, we didn't know Ben was in our group of four until Lauren brought him in. So if I had been there, it would have been like, would have been completely different.
All right. Well, Mike, just going in chronological order, because then I don't want to miss stuff if we bounce around too much. Tell me, give me some stuff that was going on in the Healers tribe that we didn't get to see on the show. Anything fun happening there? I mean, because to me, that was the group that I thought preseason, okay, this group is going to dominate. And then none of the Healers make it to the final three.
So here, I mean, and we're all having fun. We have a lot of food. We found our avocados. You know, I made, you know, day two, I make fire with a magnifying glass that we got in our fire making kit, which is like a huge win for me. I also, one of my shoes burns in half, like half of my shoe burns in the fire.
How?
And so if you go back and, because I put my shoe too close to the flames.
That'll do it.
I mean, yeah. Because I was drying it out and I'm Bozo. Mm-hmm. Jessica is doing face stories on people, which
story?
So you put the buff over your face and she like does these like weird things with her fingers on your face. I don't know, but it's like, it's mesmerizing and it really is mesmerizing. So like come the merge.
So she puts the buff over your face and then tells you a story. And then like,
she's like, there's a troll walking through the forest. And he comes across a carriage, like he comes across a little cottage, knock, knock, and she pulls your earlobe. Knock, 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 knock.
Okay.
It's so ridiculous.
Yeah.
Like she's telling these stories and like everybody's lining up for a face story. Mm-hmm. It's ridiculous.
Yeah.
And so come the merge, who do you think out there, come the merge, she should have given a face story to?
Ben.
Well, I'm like, no, because we were already on a tribe with Ben on Yawa.
Yes.
But I'm like, come to merge. I'm like, go give Ryan a face story. Go give Ryan a face story. He's going to be mesmerized by you. Like, you will have him under your wings. And she goes and gives Devin a face story instead. So now you have jealous little Ryan there, mm-hmm. having not gotten a face story, sleeping next to Devin.
Yeah.
It's like a huge fatal flaw of Jessica's is giving Devin a face story instead of giving Ryan a face story that night. I told her what to do and she just didn't do it.
All right.
she would still be in the game. Like even right now, today, like a year later, if she'd given Ryan that face story,
she'd still be in the game.
Yeah, I think they'd be married. Like, Ryan would have fallen prey to the face story.
All right. So, Dr. Mike, that there was a whole thing that goes on because Cole ends up telling everybody about Joe has the idol. You don't seem like you're around during this point. And they're talking about you potentially being the person who is going to get kept if they go to a tribal council due to this information that Cole knows about Joe. Did you end up getting word that Joe had the idol that you were looking for?
No, I never heard until we got to the other tribe. Can we talk about Cole for a second?
Of course.
So Cole, 30. So my wife also said to me, do not make an alliance with anybody. Well, until,
I thought you were going to say this was another hall pass.
No, like until you have to, until day three, like see who's crazy, who's not. And I'm like, okay. So we land on the beach. We're like, oh my God, this is so cool. Cole's like, let me talk to you. And he walks away with me for like we're talking, this is like 2 minutes into the game, like onto the beach. And he goes, Joe's already said he wants you out. I'm really big and strong. You're really smart. Let's be an alliance. And I'm like, okay. And so we start calling him Jaime Lannister and me Tyrion Lannister. But Cole was always like, he's almost like that guy Will, who is always trying to make a move. So like, Cole. So like,
what guy is that?
Wasn't his name Will, the guy from season, the high school kid from 33?
Will Wall.
Yeah, like, so like Cole, like, he's always trying to make a move. So it's like, Cole says to me, like, Cole, Joe, and I would go on a walk. And Cole would be like, dude, let's vote out Jessica. We're like, we thought Jessica's your girlfriend. He's like, no, let's vote her out. She'll never know. She'll never suspect it. We're like, what? Like, what are you doing? And so then it's like, you know, of course, now that I know, Joe was so tight with Jessica, which I never knew until like literally listening to podcasts. It gets back to Joe because Joe is protecting Cole that I wanted to vote Jessica out. And it's like, what? Like, it's so like, it was, I don't think anybody will ever know who would have gotten voted out that first tribal if we had gone to tribal. I feel pretty confident it would not have been me.
Yeah.
Because I think that Rourke had my back, and I think Cole and Rourke had a good relationship.
How would you have handled if you were one of the first boots of the season? Had you gone to a tribal council and potentially have been the person who got voted out?
I mean, I told Josh, I told Jeff, I told them in casting, either I'm going to be that first vote out, like I'm going to be the David Samson, or I'm going to be able to integrate, because obviously, like, Tyrion Lannister. So like everybody has a book that they're reading at casting or like at the finals or at, you know, in the pregame.
Yes.
My book was The Wit and Wisdom of Tyrion Lannister.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, Simone's book, by the way, was How to Shit in the Woods. That was the title of the book. But so, my, you know, Tyrion Lannister would say, where, like, dude, I'm a dwarf. Like, own it. So it's, wear your disadvantages on your coat sleeves. Be aware of them. Make sure everybody else knows them and deal with them.
Mm-hmm.
And so, yeah, I was older. I was fatter. And I knew that I was going to probably be that guy that didn't integrate into the young hot people tribe, which is what we had.
Mm-hmm.
And so I had to get close with them. I mean, you know, I'm a sex doctor. I say
at
the beginning of the game, I'm a sex doctor. Do you think anybody in my tribe asked me what I did? Not until Yawa did anybody say, what do you do for a living? What exactly do you do?
Because it made such an impression on them and they didn't forget or they just didn't care.
Mm-hmm. They just didn't care. At some point I'm like, dude, like I wake up that like day two and day three and I'm like, I have to do this. I have to integrate. And so I just start telling people stories and Joe's like, who is this guy? Like, I thought he was just going to just lay there and allow me to vote him out. And at that point, I think he starts liking me, but it's still like, he still doesn't want to play the game with me. Mm-hmm. He might like me, but he's like, dude, I like you, but you're still the first one to go home. Come on.
Yeah.
Well, thanks, Joe.
I don't care how many stories you have.
Exactly. It's sad. I had a very, bad. Like the first half, the first 9 days of my game, despite being on a great tribe with some great people, was really hard for me. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's like I wasn't considered the loser that nobody talked to in high school, but you got to imagine that, like, literally that was the box I was put into. Mm-hmm. Like, you're that nerdy guy that nobody's going to talk to. I'm just going to let do his like things. We'll listen to you because you give some pretty good advice, but I just sort of do your own thing.
Okay. So Dr. Mike, you ultimately are going to swap on day 9 and you swap to the Yawa tribe. And here you find some second life in the game because you are sort of set up, at least in the episodes, as this swing vote between Cole and Jessica and Ben and Lauren. Was that how you felt at the time, or were you 100% with Cole and Jessica and never wavered from that?
I mean, I was 100. So pregame, I told everybody Ben is the biggest threat. I told it to Josh. I told it to anybody that would listen.
You say it the whole season.
Yeah, he's the biggest threat. I almost wonder if I made him the biggest threat because I kept saying it. You know, I told Joe it like first 5 minutes of the game. I'm like, dude, that cowboy guy, he's the biggest threat, that Marine. Mm-hmm. And I don't think, I mean, Ben is Ben. Like Ben, like if you ever meet somebody with like, you know, everybody on Survivor has sort of a charisma.
Almost like, everybody.
That's larger than life almost than other people. That's how you end up on, you know, that's how you end up on reality TV. You have to have this sort of persona. But like I once met Bill Clinton and like he walked into a bar that I was at and like he has this aura about him. You know, I speed through like 50 people, like 30, 40, 50.
Did you talk to Bill Clinton?
I said hi to him. I shook his hand.
Yeah.
He then went to the restroom.
Okay. And you didn't have any stories for him? I bet he would have really liked hearing some of your stories, Dr. Mike.
I have no comment.
Okay. Dr. Mike, you're killing me.
I love all the presidents equally.
Okay.
That being said, so I mean, ask about anything that's not political. Ben has that aura. Ben mm-hmm. has that like charisma that when you're standing next to him, he just has people like he just draws people in. So I knew I had to get rid of Ben. No matter what, I had to get rid of Ben. But just like I knew I would, I liked the guy and I did it like it felt bad. Like I didn't want to throw a challenge and get the guy off. That felt so mean. Mm-hmm. I should have done it. He absolutely should have thrown the challenge and got rid, especially got rid of Ben. But very quickly realized that like Cole, Jessica and I, that we were put on the tribe with the two most dangerous people in the entire game. Because Lauren is a huge threat. Ben is a huge threat. Both of them were really good at playing the game. And we immediately like recognized that. But it wasn't like I was like, was I the swing vote or did I become the leader of the tribe? I don't know. And I wanted to keep it as like sort of this under the radar person, because what happens is Jessica and I find that idol, and Jessica, because Cole tells Ben and Lauren some secrets, Jessica decides she can't trust Cole, and Jessica and I start essentially running everything, which really means that Jessica and I are running everything. And mm-hmm. I think it's a product of my game when Ben said that he took out Jessica because he felt like she was running the entire game. If you don't think that I was telling Jessica anything and everything that she was doing and who she needed to talk to and what she needed to do, I absolutely was, you know, but I can't help it if she's going to wink at Desi, mm-hmm. right? I can't help it if she's not going to give the right face story to the right person. These are my frustrations.
Yeah. So if Jessica would have just listened to you and done everything that you said, she would have won or she would have lost to you.
Yeah.
What was it, Tyrion?
Yeah. I mean, I think Cersei would have lost to Tyrion.
Yes. She was your Daenerys. You were the hand of the queen.
No, she was Cersei, because Jaime was Cole and I was Tyrion. This is a joke we had out there.
So, yeah. Well, that story doesn't really follow the same beats.
What do you mean?
Well, this is getting turning into a complicated metaphor. So let's move back. Let's go back to talking about Jamie Lannister.
You got to skip it because Jamie was having sex with Cersei, and we know Cole wasn't having sex with Jessica.
Okay, so Cole was eating all of the peanut butter. It seemed like it really bothered Lauren. It really bothered Ben. Did you care how much food Cole was eating?
I mean, honestly, I thought it was pretty funny. I thought it was great that he was eating the peanut butter. One, because he needed the peanut butter. Two, because it was pissing off the other two, which is pretty entertaining. It gave us something to talk about. Like, I mean, Cole was ridiculous. Cole would be like, I've made rice for everybody. We put our rice in the leaves. Jessica, I have your rice. And then look at me, smile, and take a big bite out of the middle of her rice.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, and Jessica would be like, oh, Cole, like, you need more food than me. Mm-hmm. And that was, you know, and that's the way it went. It was like, you know, like, it's one of those things where, you know, I think Chrissy talked about it in her podcast where it was like, she felt like Joe was picking on me at one point. And I was like, you know, and so she had to step in. What she left out was that she was like, stop picking on Mike. And Joe's like, am I picking on you? I'm like, no. Mm-hmm. And it's the same thing. Like, it's hard to get mad at Cole for stealing Jessica's food when Jessica doesn't care that Cole is stealing her food.
Mm-hmm.
Did you follow that?
Yeah. So we get to a point then where Cole is going to have a moment where he ends up passing out in the game. And you are the person who ends up.
Why did you do that?
Yes.
How did you do that?
And who comes to the rescue but Dr. Mike as the first responder?
I was going to stick a catheter in. You know, yeah. They told me not to pull down his pants. We're there. You're like, obviously, Jessica and I both have medical training.
Yes.
Jessica works for a neurosurgeon. And I mean, he couldn't have passed out on a better tribe. He couldn't have hit his head with mm-hmm. better people around.
Yes.
But fortunately, he was okay because he's like part Cro-Magnon. Mm-hmm. And he's, you know, wood does not hurt him, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, Cole literally sits around the fire like a chimpanzee. Mm-hmm. And he has he's really cute and girls love him. But one of the reasons why is because the reason why people love puppies or chimps is because their head is disproportionately larger than the rest of their body.
Yes.
And I think Cole's head is disproportionately larger than the rest of their body. And he can, especially when he squats next to the fire and you just see his head like a little monkey, like there was no way that just a little piece of wood could hurt him.
So how real was it to potentially throw a challenge? I know you said that it was mean, you didn't want to do it, but how much were those conversations happening?
I mean, we talked about it. And I think Cole was so interested in playing the game
mm-hmm.
that I don't think Jessica and I knew whether or not Cole would flip.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So we didn't really do it.
Yeah. But, you know, had you done it, really changes the entire landscape of the game.
The entire landscape of the game.
Yeah.
Absolutely. If we had thrown that challenge, you know, and made it so that Rourke didn't go home,
mm-hmm.
Completely different game.
Yeah.
I mean, Rourke was my biggest ally on the Healer Tribe.
Right. I mean, you could have got rid of Lauren and Ben.
Uh-huh. I mean, definitely we should have.
You guys would come into the merge with a 6-5 advantage.
Actually, I think it would have been 6-6.
6-6, yeah.
Yeah, but it would have been 6-6.
Yeah.
And at that point, we had two idols. And Rourke clearly would have brought Allie over to our side.
Right.
Because, like, you could tell the two of them were close, mm-hmm. you know?
Yeah.
And so, it would have been a completely different game. But that being said, would I have won that game? I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
Because, like, you put the six, like, again, the six healers, nobody knows who would have actually gone home first. If we're in the final six, nobody knows who would have gone home first.
Yeah. And no way it gets to a six.
I agree. So who, like, we don't throw the challenge, and I'm a dodo for not throwing a challenge. Like, I think, yeah, we should have done a better job protecting Rourke.
Okay.
Rourke, I'm sorry.
I'm sure she forgives you. So when you guys get to the merge, then you guys are coming in and you are very invested in the plan of that Ben and Lauren are going to stick with the Healers. You are the person. You've been really working this relationship. We see you have a couple different conversations with Ben and with Lauren. How confident were you going into the merge that they were going to stick with you?
Okay, well, can we take a step back for 1 second? Because I forgot to say one thing. The whole advantage that Jessica gets in their chips, the advantage that Jessica gets in the chips is like, I still at this point, like as soon as we separate, I'm like, guys, I want you to know, I still hate you.
Mm-hmm.
Like Joe has to go home. And they're like, oh, really? Joe has an idol. I'm like, that we got to get rid of Joe's idol. Let's give the disadvantage to Joe. And, you know, Ben and Lauren are always like, yeah, we got to give the disadvantage to Joe. And so Jessica, you know, Jessica wanted to give it to Alan. The three of us want to give it to Joe because Jessica is trying to form a bond with me at this point. And doesn't want it to be like, doesn't want her to Cole to be on the bottom. We compromise and she gives it to Devin.
Mm-hmm.
But really in Joe being mean to me, and like getting in my face and being like, you know what you are? You're worse than a woman. I'm like, what am I, a man? And he's like, with him doing that stuff, like, and never saying to me, okay, Mike, now we're going to secretly work together, mm-hmm. which he should have said.
Yeah.
And like, I couldn't say it to him because he was such a loose cannon. He would have gone back to the rest of the Hills and been like, you want to hear something stupid? Mike actually just said to me, let's secretly work together. You're a moron, Mike. I'm never working with you. Like, so because of that, I'm still gunning for Joe. So that happens.
Mm-hmm.
And now we hit the merge. And what I've been telling Ben and Lauren is that I hate Joe. Mm-hmm. I still hate Joe.
Yeah.
And Joe has to go home. So I'm telling them they have to vote for Joe. And that's my plan to send Joe home.
And so you were trying to vote against Joe at the merge?
I was thinking that we were going to vote against Joe at the merge, make it so it's five healers, it's then five heroes, I think, and three hustlers.
Is this before you knew Rourke was gone?
No, this is like at the merge.
Okay, so then there'd be four healers at that point.
No, you're right. There would be four healers, four heroes.
Yeah, four, still four.
Four heroes, and there would be three hustlers, and mm-hmm. that would be the final 11. And then nobody would be being targeted.
Yes.
There would be heroes and healers and hustlers. We're all in the same group. We knew we had to sacrifice somebody. Let's sacrifice Joe.
Mm-hmm.
And that was my plan. And Ben had been telling me Ben made me a staff. Him and I were pretty close. Like, you know.
A staff with a sperm on it, from what I understand.
Staff with a sperm on it. Uh-huh.
Yes.
I felt like Moses leading my sperm through the waters. With my beard and my sperm staff.
Yes.
He had been telling me that he's super close with Chrissy. And I'm like, okay, so great. He's super close with Chrissy. I'm going to then form an alliance with Chrissy. Clearly, Ryan is super close with Chrissy. So mm-hmm. this is going to work. This is how it's going to work. And we'll get rid of Joe. Because we know Joe, we don't think Joe has an idol. And if he did find that second idol, then we'll figure something else out. Like, we hadn't gotten that far yet.
Mm-hmm.
And so I walk up to Chrissy and Ryan in the water and I go, guys, I know you're good friends with Ben, Chrissy. Like, I'm like, Ben and I are super close. Ben and I have been tight. Like, I've protected him. Let's work together. And Chrissy's like, I don't know. I got to get to know you first.
Yeah.
And I walk away and I walk up to Jessica and I go, Chrissy's the next one going home.
Well, why was that bad? Didn't Barry tell you don't make alliances with people that when you first meet them?
Yes. Chrissy and I had the same strategy. Chrissy was able to do it better than me, I guess. Because if you remember, Chrissy says that Katrina walked up to her immediately and was like, let's make an alliance. And she was like, nah, I don't think so.
Yeah.
And Chrissy was able to, but Cole walks up to me at the beginning and goes, let's make an alliance. I'm like, okay.
Mm-hmm.
Chrissy was able to pull it off better than me, I guess. You know, which is why she deserved to be in the final three. Maybe it's why I voted for her. But because of that, I'm like, Chrissy has to go. And Chrissy was Ben's closest ally. So Ben doesn't want to send her home.
Mm-hmm.
So now I can't tell Ben And now Ben and I start keeping secrets from each other. And I should have pushed Lauren more to tell me, okay, who's Ben voting for? Who's Ben voting for? And I think Lauren would have told me. Mm-hmm. Lauren would have been like, Mike, like, we're voting for Chrissy tonight. It's a secret. Don't tell anybody. I trust you. And if she had done that, the entire game would have been different. If I had done, and then I was pissed off at Lauren, which is why I didn't ask her about the foot thing. Like, the whole thing would have been different.
Yeah. Mike, you said at the merge that you were surprised how hard the other people were playing the game. You said you thought it was going to be easy. You thought that maybe not that many people were going to be playing, and your life got a lot harder because you realized how everybody was playing as hard as you were.
Yeah, I still think that.
Yeah.
I mean, every one of them was playing.
Did you underestimate them?
I guess I underestimated them. By just looking at them, I underestimated them. I didn't think Devin was going to be as great a player as he was. I call him like Aria, right? Like, he's like the silent assassin, where he was like he just had this ability to stay, to make it look like he wasn't even doing anything, wasn't even trying, and he was doing a great job.
So you guys end up going to this tribal council, and it's not Joe. And it's not Chrissy, it's Jessica who ends up getting voted out. Joe ends up playing one of his idols or his second idol in the game. Where's your head at this point?
I mean, I would have played my idol for Jessica if I knew she was going home. I feel like I was blindsided as much as Jessica was because I thought we had this plan. Now, I had a hint that the plan was not going to work.
Yeah.
Because I think it was Cole. Yeah, Cole and Joe come up to me and say, we just told, you know, our plan was to get Devin on board. Lauren was like, I'm going to get Devin on board and we're going to vote for Chrissy. And so Cole and Joe come up and go, we just spoke to Devin and Ryan. They're both good. Chrissy's going to go home.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, Devin and Ryan, you spoke to Ryan about this? There's no way he's voting for Chrissy. And Desi's like, Mike, you're being paranoid. Just be quiet. Enough.
Enough.
Stop making a big... Just, you know, stop making a big deal out of this.
Mm-hmm.
And that was literally like 5 minutes before we go to tribal.
Yeah.
And I'm thinking, like, there is no way that Ryan's ever voting for Chrissy. And then at tribal, Chrissy says, Ryan, like, I've heard my name being thrown around. How would she have heard her name being thrown around unless Ryan had told her?
Mm-hmm.
So I had this inkling it wasn't going to go our way.
Right.
But if it didn't go away, like, I didn't think it was going to be me. I didn't think it was, I figured, like, I didn't know what, I was nervous. I was nervous, but I was still, like, sucks. It really sucks.
I can't believe you told Cole a plan that you wanted to keep secret.
I mean, Cole thought he was running the tribe at that point.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Yeah.
He's like the head of the healers.
So, at this point now that it looks like the healers have a big target on their back, but it seems like that you're the safest healer to me. Did you have that impression where the other healers in Desi and Cole and Joe all had bigger targets on their back?
Yes and no. Yes, they had bigger targets on their back. So I told you about Chrissy and I. Literally a minute before tribal council, Chrissy comes up to me and goes, hey, Mike, I just want you to know, I'm looking forward to working with you in the future.
Oh.
And I'm like, okay. Thinking, that's funny because you're going home tonight. and then she doesn't go home. And so I'm like, I got to do damage control. Like, all of the healers come back to camp and like are like sulking. And I'm like, I got to do damage control here. Mm-hmm. I'm like, Ben, Chrissy, can I talk to you guys? And Chrissy is like, I told you we were going to work together. You betrayed my trust. I can't work with you. Like, you're done. And I'm like, what? Like, there's still 11 people left here. Like, what do you say to me? Like, you said to me, I look forward to working with you a minute before tribal council. Like, how does that? And we resolved things the next day. But it was like, you know, there was just like a disconnect there on what the way of perception of what had happened and what could have happened and should have happened. But yeah, I think Ben and I were still pretty close. Ben and I made up, and Ben was basically like, well, Mike, I got to trust you again. I'm going to tell you who to vote for the next time.
Right.
And you have to vote for that person. And that way I'll let you back into my inner circle. And so at that point, I'm like, what have I done? I've kept Ben when I should have gotten him out. And now I have to work for Ben. So, you know, and be his like little henchman in order to just survive. And if that means turning on the healers who are sulking, then I'll turn on the healers who are sulking. You know, like it wasn't like I love my healers. But Jesse and Cole were not coming up with some master strategy.
It's a sinking ship.
Yeah. To reinvent the healers, you know?
Yeah.
It became an every man for themselves situation, which is why I started drawing like smiley faces and stuff on my votes so people would know who I voted for.
Yeah. Who is Ben in your Game of Thrones analogy?
The White Walker, man.
The White Walker?
I don't know. Like,
the Night King?
The Night King, yeah. I mean, and it's... That is
the Night King or the
Night
King.
Somehow he became Jon Snow. I don't know.
Okay. I don't know.
Okay. Like isn't Bran? I mean, don't they say maybe Bran is the Night King? And so maybe he's that guy that sort of you don't know if he's good or he's bad.
Yeah, we don't know. So Mike, then you end up then, okay, so you and Cole end up voting for Joe, just like Ben told you to do. You're saying that you feel like, okay, well, I got to do whatever Ben tells me to do so I can get back in good graces. And then you do that. But then shortly thereafter, you're like, you know what? That I'm not in on the seven. What happened? What made you sour on? You're willing to do what Ben says at the vote where Desi goes home. But by the next vote, you're done with that.
Well, I'm sort of like one vote at a time,
mm-hmm.
you know, like, I mean, so.
But was there a straw that broke the camel's back?
I mean, there were a few. I mean, are you talking about like before my Statue of Liberty speech?
Yeah.
So there's a few things that happened before the Statue of Liberty speech, which, you know, I think I'm the only one that thinks it's more epic than it actually is. So first of all, this goes back to the whole Jeff Probst justifiable ethics. Yeah, Cole was taking peanut butter, but everybody knew he was taking peanut butter. And he said he was sorry for it, let it go.
Mm-hmm.
But like, Ben is like, he has broke my code of ethics. Like, this is the Trump card. Like, do you remember that guy that was like making fun of the girl on Survivor a long time, like a few episodes ago?
The guy who was making fun of the girl on Survivor?
Shireen, was that her name? Shireen?
Oh, yeah.
And it was like, it was so atrocious. That you were like, that guy just needs to go.
You said it, not me, Dr. Mike.
What?
No, go ahead.
So the thing is that like, I never wanted that situation to happen. And my whole thing about justifiable ethics was that like, you can't do something so atrocious out there that makes people like, that demeans people, that makes them like, feel horrible about themselves.
Right.
And they started doing this to Cole, the whole group of them, right? And whether it was with Lauren's vote, and you don't see it, but they're like, Cole, you're lying. You're just a liar. We can't trust you. You steal and you lie. And
right.
Like, and it's like, Cole at the end of the day is like a 20-something-year-old kid that like has emotions and was devastated and was like, I mean, I wouldn't be surprised if he was running off and crying because they were acting mean to him. And
right.
It's like, don't think of Cole. You think of Cole as being this like super cool kid, but Cole wasn't always like, you know, 0% body fat, like super stud. Like Cole was probably more of a nerdy kid growing up than I was.
Wow.
And yeah. And it's like Cole really took this stuff to heart and they were killing poor Cole.
Right.
And it was like, you know, there's stuff that happened out there where Cole was being accused of things that did not happen, that were things that, you know,
mm-hmm.
possibly could have gotten people kicked off the island. And it was like, you know, enough is enough. Like if you're going to make him into a pariah, or if you're going to make Joe into a pariah, say he's telling me I'm swearing on the Marines or that I'm swearing on my kids or I'm doing this or I'm doing that. And it's too much. Then take them off the island, but don't make them into a pariah and mm-hmm. make it so that no one is allowed to talk to them. And treat them like they're the worst of the worst, biggest loser in the world, and make it so like they're ostracized and shunned.
Yeah.
And then just use it as like a gameplay. Like that was my straw that broke my back. It was like, I won't let you use a supposedly high moral character and fiber as a gameplay to make somebody on the bottom, but then keep them there, like keep them in the game. Like everybody likes to have a villain that you know, I think you talked about in your podcast, like a unifying factor is hate for somebody else.
Right.
Right.
Yeah.
And so it's like, yes, like unify and hate somebody, but don't hate them for like their moral values. Right. And tell, like, hate them for their gameplay, you know, hate them for finding idols or for winning immunity challenges, but don't hate them for things that they didn't actually even do, you know?
Right.
Don't hate them for being a liar when they're not lying and you know they're not lying, but you're telling everybody that they're a giant liar and that, you know?
Yep. Yeah, you make a lot of great points, Dr. Mike. We see this a lot in reality TV and certainly in other aspects of our human experience that, you know, the best way to keep a big group together is to make one person or a group of people an enemy. And then certainly, you know, it comes up a lot in Big Brother as well. We talk about it a lot where it's like, okay, this person and everything they do is wrong. You know, even if people in your own group are doing the same thing, and then you can just, you know, keep harping on that and you're not allowed to talk to that person. And then basically it keeps people from flipping or from going to the other side and it builds strength in your group.
Right.
And they've got the seven, right?
Right. They have the seven. Chrissy is standing at camp watch. Ben is standing at camp watch. They're watching everybody who everybody interacts with, and no one's allowed to talk to anybody else. Like Ben and JP have hand signals. I mean, it's like, it was like crazy out there. Like we were like under lock and key almost.
Okay.
And it's, you know, it was a little, you know, I always thought that like Boston Rob had a good, like, alliance management. And I talked about that at some point where like, you want good alliance management, but their alliance management was literally by watching everybody, and you needed permission from the king and queen in order to go and communicate with anybody else.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And so it was time to take a stand. And if I didn't take a stand then, at the next vote, it was either going to be Joe or myself. And I needed to take a stand then. So it's like, at some point you have to take a stand. Then what's that like? There's that poem I think about the Holocaust. That's like when they came for the blacks, nobody said anything. When they came for the socialists, nobody said anything. And when they came for me, there was nobody there to say anything. And so I felt like my strategy should not have been go to the final eight, like go to the eight and then hope that they're going to work with me. That seemed like a bad strategy to me. At the same time, Ben really thought I had that immunity idol. Like, we knew there must have been a red idol. We knew it was around the well. You don't see Ben dig a 5-foot trench around the entire well because after he finds the clue for the idol, looking for the idol, with me sitting there laughing, saying, Ben, I don't think it's there, man. I don't think it's there. Patrick must have found it and gone home with it. You know? Mm-hmm. I mean, like, but that happened. And so, like, you know, people suspected I had an idol. So at some point, I knew that was going to become an issue. At the same time, the audience knows that Cole does not have the idol under the flag, but Joe and Mike don't know that. So I think Cole might have an idol. I think Cole might play his idol, at which point I might go home with an, you know, and I'm not going to go home with an idol in my pocket.
Yeah.
At the same time, I think a better question that should have been asked is why were their votes not split correctly? So everybody was like, you know, only two votes went for Dr. Mike. If all three healers voted for Ben, Ben would have gone home. Mm-hmm. And that's true. But why were there only two votes for me? And it's because Ashley and Devin came up. Now I know it was separate without even knowing each other were coming up and said to me, I want to be in a secret alliance with you. Just get through this vote and then the game's going to change. We're going to change the game up.
Mm-hmm.
So I knew I had to get through this vote with or without an idol. Because although Ben, I thought, knew I had an idol, those two I didn't think knew I had an idol. So I knew if I got through that vote, the game was going to change. And so I needed to make sure to get through that vote because those people don't vote for me. That's why this, I mean, Chrissy's an actuary. She's good with numbers. Why didn't they split the votes correctly? Because people refused to vote for me at that tribal. But how did I know they were truly going to refuse to vote for me? you couldn't put your trust so much in somebody's hands like that. Plus, the fact of the matter is, I did tell Ben to vote. I mean, I did tell Joe to vote for Ben that night, and he still didn't. Okay. So, I mean, there were lots of reasons why I needed to play the idol when I did the Statue of Liberty speech.
A couple of quick follow-ups on this tribal council. In exit interviews, Cole talked about how you had a fake immunity necklace and you gave it to Joe, which we didn't end up seeing in the episode. What was your thinking behind making a fake immunity necklace and giving it to Joe?
So in retrospect, there are so many better ways to play fake idols. But I played this idol. I knew that Cole was scatterbrained. Cole couldn't be trusted. It was probably going to be Cole's time. I wasn't willing to give Cole my idol. And I didn't know if Cole would work with me afterwards. I knew Joe. If I made sure to save Joe, that Joe and I could work together for our mutual benefit. So in giving him an idol, I was just wanting to make sure that they weren't going to vote for Joe that night, that they would vote for that the person going home was Cole.
Okay.
And then if Cole played an idol and I play an idol, the person going home is Ben.
And what changed between you and Joe? It wasn't too much earlier that you were saying this about Joe.
Joe says, since day one, I told you guys I got your back. Well, except Mike. And I'm going to say, hey, Mike, you're out of here. You're not in my circle of trust. Deuces.
He was saying deuces to you.
Yeah, desperation. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's the thing. Like, I mean, we, you know, desperate times, like at the end of the day, like, you know, I think at some point he explained to me, look, Mike, I know you're a player. You know, I'm a player. Let's play this game. And I think we could still win here. Now, really, I still don't like Joe, even at that point. So when Devin's like, dude, Joe has to go. He's too good of a player for this game. Joe has to go. And I'm like, okay, well, whenever you want to get rid of him, as long as you're not getting rid of me, but I can work with Joe enough. Like, it's always good having a Joe around. At some point, I realized it's always good having a Joe around. He's funny, he's strategic, and he's honest. He's more honest than the rest of those people.
So I understand everything you've told me so far about why play the idol and why you felt like that you could work with Joe at this point. What I still struggle with is then why go full Statue of Liberty here? And then where's the point where Lauren is saying, hey, Mike, do you want me to hand you a shovel so you can continue to bury yourself? It seems like you have a good relationship with everybody. Why make yourself into such a target at this vote?
Well, because I knew I was going to play the idol for myself. Mm-hmm. So if somehow I could, you know, Ben did a better job at it at, you know, the final seven, you know, if somehow I can make everybody vote for me, thinking I'm not, you know, and then we could throw some votes on Ben. We can get rid of him.
You actually talked about this in the preseason, Mike.
Did I?
Yeah. You said that was a strategy that you would try to use.
Yeah. See, I was just trying to use my strategy. It didn't work. You know, I say it's like you call it fifth dimensional chess. I say it's you're playing chess against 17 other people and they're all on the same team.
Yeah.
And you got to try a move, see if it works. Try a different move, see if it works. And just keep staying on the board. And at some point, just like, you know, one move and you go home.
Yeah, you said in the preseason you wouldn't be afraid to have people put their votes on you, especially if you had an idol. You wouldn't be freaking out about the votes coming on you. But did that have any sort of long lasting effects of the Statue of Liberty speech? Did you alienate people with that speech?
Look, after that speech, the game turns on its head. JP goes home. And it's not just that speech, but basically, I think that speech woke people up. I think that speech made Laura and all of a sudden start playing the next round, right? Like, all of a sudden, after that speech, people are playing. The foot challenge happens. The giant alliance happens. Why do you think that happened? What was the impetus of the seven breaking up? People trust me.
Okay.
I mean, that's, you know, like, you would have to ask Lauren about that, like what she was really thinking at that point. But it's like, I mean, I think that Joe was hammering a nail into into a crack. And my goal was to throw, you know, an iceberg in that crack and just split it all apart. And I think I accomplished it. You know, all of a sudden, after that speech, Ashley's not voting for me. Devin's not voting for me. Lauren's not voting for me. These people that were supposed to vote for me during that tribal council don't. Yes, Cole goes home, but the game is turned up on its head.
At this point, does this really change up your relationship with Joe? That does Joe really see that you are a great guy now?
I think so. I think Joe and I sort of start, like, we really bond together. Mm-hmm. But I realized that we left out, you know, you always ask me what happened on the show that's sort of funny. We left out one funny part of the show here, mm-hmm. which is, you know, you don't see, but like, you know, I am a sex doctor. So like Ashley, at one point, like when Desi was still around, so we have to go back like one tribal. So Desi and Ashley around, then they notice that like their pubes are growing out of their bathing suit, I guess.
Yes.
And so they get the brilliant idea that they're going to burn these off in the fire.
No.
And Ashley's like, hey, Dr. Mike, will you come over here and just stare at our crotches to make sure that we don't set anything on fire?
They were going to like stand over the fire to.
I didn't watch.
Yeah.
I was like, I can't be seen as the sex doctor that looks at girls' crotches, like hot girls' crotches while they're burning things off of them. I'll just stand over here on the side and call me if you get into trouble. If anything yeah. sets on fire, there's a lot of grease maybe going on down there. No one's washed. Like if something lights up in flames, I'll be there for you. But otherwise, you know, burn at your own risk.
No, you didn't try to tell them that don't do this. This is a bad idea.
It was very clearly a bad idea. Nobody needed to tell them. You've never seen a survivor try to burn their hair off in the fire before. But
yeah.
These were the people I was dealing with.
Did cooler heads prevail or did it ultimately end up working out and then nobody got hurt?
No, it worked out and nobody got hurt, oh, I guess.
Okay. So what do you know?
I guess. What do I know? A plan of mine that worked and mine didn't work, I guess. It's like, I mean, I think that was the moral of this Survivor season. Yeah. Like my plans never work.
Yeah.
I mean, if you think about it, like I'm skipping ahead. But I threw a shell into the fire and thought like it was gone forever. Another plan that didn't work.
Now it's back next season.
Yeah, I mean like, you know, like what the hell?
Yeah, the shell is back. You're not.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Like, I don't get it.
Who knew?
You know, Rob, I was thinking, you know how you did that that little, like how we both do Beachbody videos?
Yes.
You know, if you want to have like another advertisement right here, we can have like, hey, Mike, like, I know you did your Beachbody video. Hey, Rob, like, did you use your Fleshlight? You know, and then like, if we go to the Fleshlight ad and we put in the discount code RHAPP for like, Rob has a pocket pussy, that would be like, that would be perfect.
I don't know what part of that would be perfect, Dr. Mike.
You might make a lot more money that way.
Maybe.
Who knows how many people have these things out there?
Who knows? Why are they one of your sponsors?
You know, I tweeted about them and supposedly they're sending me a free sample. Rob, I was
that's all you have to do?
My wife threw me a 40th birthday party.
Yes.
Like 4 years ago.
Yes.
And so I said, you know, everybody said, what do you want for your birthday? What do you want for your birthday? And there was only one thing that I wanted for my birthday.
Yes.
Nobody got it for me. So 41, everybody asked me. 42, everybody asked me. I'm 44 now. Nobody was asking me what I want for my birthday. They all know, and they know I'm not that they weren't getting it for me.
Yeah.
But I tweeted about it, and I'm getting some samples.
What's the issue? What's the issue? Your lovely wife, Barry, is saying no, not in my house, or that everybody's too embarrassed to buy this for you?
I think nobody wants to put it on their credit card. I mean, I don't think Barry cares whatsoever. I mean, there's like, I have a 98 million sperm theory. Guys make 98 million sperm a day and they need to go somewhere.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Okay. I mean, if you make 98 million sperm, like they don't want to just be sitting there stagnant. They want to go. Like they're spermatic goers.
I guess so. All right. Well, is that the best place for them to go, Dr. Mike?
I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know. I have so many questions. Like, how do you clean the thing? Who cleans it? Like, it all goes into that virtuality porn.
Well,
stuff.
Yeah.
And that's a whole nother podcast.
It's a whole different podcast. Exactly. So maybe one of our listeners might have those answers. Mike, so talk to me about, you guys get involved in this plan. And so there's the four people that you alluded to. They end up going on the reward and then they bring you and Joe in. And now you guys don't really know this at the time, or maybe you did and you could tell me about it. But it seems like, you know, you guys are being strung along by this group
and you don't really know, but you're so excited that you're not on the bottom anymore and you're part of something. So is that fair? Was that portrayed accurately that you guys ended up just were so excited to be part of a five that ultimately you were blinded to the fact that it wasn't a real five?
So a few things. One, you say it was a five, but really it was a six because Ben was involved.
Mm-hmm.
And I think, you know, and I told you that Ashley and Devin, who were very, very tight out there, had both come to me separately before the last tribal and said, Mike, you're going to be in a secret alliance with me. So now when I'm pulled in, I'm thinking it's really the four, Ashley, Devin, Lauren, and I, and Joe is really like the fifth that we're going to use and get rid of because Joe trusts me.
Yeah.
I did not realize that Devin's relationship with Ben was so strong. And I never thought anybody would be so like not smart as to give Ben such a strong position of power, putting him as the middleman between both tribes, you know, allowing him to play this huge double agent move that basically secures him the win if he makes it to the final three, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And like, and I think that was like, I mean, who knows why. And so I was never thinking it was like Joe and I are together and then it's these other three. I was thinking it's the four and we're having Joe tag along. Like at this point, Devin and I have had a conversation on the beach where he's like, Mike, you're my strongest ally. You're my biggest ally. I'm spending 90% of my time with Devin. He's like, you're like my Ryan, but you're, you know, a little thicker and smarter, I guess. It's a, you know, because I can trust you. You've never lied to me. Ryan lied to me about the idol. And so I've heard all of these things and I'm playing that role up. And I said to Devin, this is the order of how everybody needs to go out. And I'm going to make it happen. He's like, no way. If you can make that happen, you can win Survivor. And the order worked until five.
Yeah. That was your final four, that you, Ashley, Devin, and Lauren. That's what you would have liked to have had that been.
Oh, no. So the plan was that the final five was going to be Devin, Ashley, Chrissy, and Ryan. And then I was really going to have my pick of who to bring to the final three, because both of them were going to want me in their final three. And, you know, and then it's like, you know, and again, you could think about like, you know, it goes, my plan should have worked, but I sort of underestimated them and overestimated them, you could say, because, you know, I don't want to be mean.
Yeah.
Because it's like the whole reason why they voted me out was because they thought Devin had a bigger chance of beating Ben in an immunity challenge. Not because they realized that I had three healers on the jury that were going to vote for me. You know, and so it's like, I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I don't think, you know, arguably Chrissy could have beat me by the numbers if you made it to the finals, but I don't think she could have beaten Devin.
All right. So at what point was that final five going to take hold? Was that what you were thinking going into the vote where Lauren goes home, where if you took Lauren out of the picture, that was going to be where then if Ben went out at six, that was going to set up Devin, Ashley, Chrissy, Ryan, and Mike?
Right. So I knew Joe was going home.
Mm-hmm.
Or I had a strong suspicion Joe was going home that tribal.
How?
I told them to do Ben. They said, you know, both Devin and Ashley said to me, you're going to vote for Ben, but don't worry. But, you know, you're going to vote for Ryan because you got to get him to flush his idol. You're going to see what happened. You're going to be surprised, but we'll explain it all to you afterwards.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's like, it doesn't take a rocket science to figure out that means Joe's going home. But there was nothing I could do about it.
Right.
And the next tribal comes and I told them, Ben needs to go, but Lauren's going to go next. And so the plan had been Ben goes and then everybody, like, it doesn't matter that Lauren has an extra vote. If Chrissy, Ryan, myself, Devin, and Ashley all voting for her.
Mm-hmm.
And so Lauren then goes home. So the fact that Lauren goes home because Ben plays an idol, fine. Ben will be next. It never was, you know, problematic. And then you see, but I think you've seen also the shift in the game where at the end of the day, Chrissy could say that she was making this plan, but she ran over to me to ask who I vote, like to tell, so I could tell her who to vote for. And she voted for the person I told her to vote for.
Mm-hmm.
And then at the next one, when Ben pulls at an idol, it's very simple. Ben says to Ashley, let's vote for Dr. Mike.
Right.
And nobody will vote for Dr. Mike. everybody wants me still in the game because I'm really at the sweet spot in this alliance. They all think they want me there. They all like me. And they all think they can beat me in a final three, which means none of them have realized that there are three healers on the jury, except Ben. And so, you know, and I again made a mistake in that, you know, I had Ashley. Ashley asked me before that tribal if we can vote out Devin. I had Ashley convinced Devin was flipping on her and Devin convinced Ashley was flipping on him. And so both of them at that tribal wanted to vote out the other one. And I just decided to go with Devin when I should have gone with Ashley. And then Ben, you know, had just taken Ben along. And, you know, or the real person that we should have been voting for was Ryan there. I think, you know, Ryan played a low-key game and everybody sort of takes him to the finals. But it's almost a credit to his game because Ryan makes it to the finals with really like, did he even have a vote against him? I mean, it's like Ryan made it to the finals, like at that final six, when Ashley's like, please just vote for Mike. It never even dawned on her to vote for Ryan. I would have voted for Ryan. If Ben would have voted for Ryan, it would have been a different game. But Ryan is so low key, like he's a low key big hog, like Johnny Fairplay would say.
He would?
Referring to his masculinity.
Okay.
Like he, you know.
You don't need to really go into the explanation. Yeah. We'll just go keep moving.
Yeah. But I, that nobody is even thinking like vote for Ryan. When Ryan at the end of the day is a player that's making it to the final three. So I think it's just Ryan was playing a different strategic game.
All right, so let me ask you something, because you bring up something interesting. That do you feel like that, you know, like some sort of like alternate scenario where then you're targeting Devin then, say, at that final six? So it's almost like the group that goes on the reward, Chrissy and Ryan and Devin, they're like, hey, let's make a final three. And they're okay, great. When you're back at camp and you're all and you and Ashley are both complaining, can you believe they didn't take me? Can you believe they didn't take me? And Ben is sitting there and you guys won't give him the time of day. Do you almost say like, boy, I wish that me and Ashley and Ben could have got on the same page there. If we go to that final three, are you the winner?
What, Ashley, Ben and I?
Yeah.
I mean, I think Ben probably still wins, but you never know. I mean, it really depends on how we get there. That would be an interesting final three. I think it's a testament to how much dislike there is of Ben at that point in the game by everybody.
Yeah.
You know, not just because he played an idol, but because Ben's Ben. And I think, you know, the Survivor, you know, we're talking like it's about society. Survivor's about relationships. And in a regular relationship, Rob, like you get into a fight with your, like with Nicole, and you guys, like you forgive each other and you have sex and you move on. There's no having sex in Survivor.
Right.
Yeah. But there's no having sex in Survivor. So it's like, you could say you forgive each other, but you still, everything is still stewing and brewing and festering. And come day 30, like it's at that boiling point. And it's like, you're like going crazy with your like emotional hate towards people.
But isn't the tribal council the sex, Mike, where let's say me and you, we're in a fight and then we end up coming back together and then it's like, oh, okay, well, Mike, I got it. Like, here's the plan. We're voting out Devin tonight. And you're like, okay, that's a great plan. We vote out Devin. Isn't that the makeup sex that we got back on the same page?
Yeah, but then the thing is, though, if that's the makeup sex and then Ben plays an idol, Ben playing his idol is like either you prematurely ejaculating or you having erectile dysfunction. Basically, like, you can't perform. You didn't get to perform.
Somebody right, but if it worked, that's the makeup sex. That's the makeup sex is if it worked.
It worked, but
right.
It didn't work.
Right.
It never worked.
I swear it always worked before. We never had this problem before, Mike.
Right. Because you never went to tribal. You never went all the way to tribal. And then when you go to tribal, it never works.
Yeah. Talk to me about when you threw Lauren's shell into the fire, because that was such a great moment. And, you know, everybody went nuts. We had a big crowd together to watch that. Everybody was screaming when you did that. Was that a thing for you that when she gave it to you, you were instantly like, oh, I'm going to throw this in the fire?
I mean, clearly I should have thrown a different shell in the fire. But I mean, instead I was throwing her shell. But, you know, again, you're not thinking clearly and you make, you know, hindsight's 20/20. But she was never I was never going to give back that shell to her. And she was never going to give me the other piece.
Yeah.
So what was the point of even having it? Everybody that knew I had it, And it was going to be like, what happens when like Ashley comes and asks for the shell or Ben asks for the shell? Like all of a sudden it was going to be like, is it really yours? Why do you get it and not me? It was more controversy. Like my game at that point was avoiding controversy and just sort of like, you know, I went from a tribe that all loved each other and didn't get my jokes and even want to hear my jokes to a tribe that was like eating all my shit up. And it's like, you know, why cause controversy in them?
Mm-hmm. Mike, when you said that you had been waiting for 15 years to do that, were you actually waiting 15 years to throw something in the fire at Tribal Council?
No, it sounded good at the time.
Sounded good. Okay, that's fair.
Yeah.
So, Mike, that I want to actually skip ahead then. I mean, we kind of talked about the Ashley vote where she went home, but I'd like to talk about in the finale when ultimately you're going to go out at this vote on the final five. But you guys go on this reward, you and Chrissy and Devin, and you guys start talking about, oh, why don't we, it's your idea, you know, oh, you had a fake idol. Why don't we, you know, say that you found it here? And then show it to Ben, and then he'll stop looking for the idol, and then you'll just say that you have it, and this will be a great plan. Yeah, I believe you said it's the best plan ever.
Okay, so first of all, anybody that knows me knows that 48 hours left in Survivor, I am not sleeping and picking my ass.
Okay.
Right? Like, I am working.
Yeah, nobody said you were.
I am hustling. So can we take one step back? The reason why I did not follow Ben, the tribal council before that, when Ashley goes home, is because if I went and followed Ben, the four of them, the two couples, would have gotten together and said, okay, well, it's one of those two going home tonight.
Mm-hmm.
And I was going to be the other guy on the chopping block. So at that versus somebody else being on the chopping block. So I couldn't follow Ben. I was looking for the idol myself, but I couldn't follow Ben at that point. After the next tribal, yeah, I follow Ben, but mainly I'm just looking for the idol myself. Like, I feel like it's a race between Ben and myself looking for the idol, and I'm looking for the idol nonstop. Yes, at some point, everybody sleeps. Just like Chrissy said, Ben was sleeping too. He wakes up a few minutes before us, goes out to the raft, and, you know, finds the idol, which is amazing, but it, like, from sun up to sun down, I was looking for that idol, which is when I found the sea turtles. Because how do I stumble upon sea turtles? Like, I found them looking for the idol.
Yeah. Nobody's saying that you weren't looking hard for the idol.
Okay.
Everybody knows you looked for the idol very hard this season. But here's Mike, I rewatched this and I had like a eureka moment yesterday in terms of watching this back. Because I think...
Did you clean up after your eureka moment?
No, I did not. It was not necessary because this was just a idea storm. Because, Mike, I think you guys had it. You guys just came up with this plan too late.
Well, they never told me about the stupid idol.
If they shared this information with you on day 33, you know, before or whatever, before Ben plays three idols, or even after Ben plays his first idol, before that idol goes and gets back hidden into the game, if you guys just go hide the fake idol, Ben finds the fake idol, then when we get to the point that we're getting the Ben bomb dropped, sorry, this is not a real idol, and Ben goes home.
You're right. Yeah. Like why didn't they hide that as a fake idol? Why didn't they, like, as Joe would say,
they had
it. The highlight of this season was the lack of good gameplay on this season. There were so many options, and don't get me wrong, hindsight's 20/20. And I don't think I played like this amazing Survivor game as well. Strategically, everything I tried strategically didn't work.
Right.
Including throwing the idol into the fire.
Yeah.
There were so many options. It's like so many times when Ben should have gone home and or things they could have done. But it's like the entire cast was just handing Ben the $1 million.
Because I heard so much after the finale of your season, Ben found all these idols, then there was fire making, and then there was nothing anybody could have done to stop him. But I really think that this, and this, you know, there's some precedent for this. I mean, go back to David Wright back at the final six in Survivor Millennials versus Gen X, and I'm sure that's where your head was. But if that fake idol gets hidden, you know, Ben's looking everywhere for the idol, that you lead him to the fake idol, he ends up with the fake idol. Now, maybe, you know, does he find a fake idol and a real idol along the way? I mean, possibly. But if you could slow him down with the fake idol, I mean, what does it hurt?
You're absolutely
They
right.
had it the whole time. And, you know, it wasn't just Chrissy. I mean, Ryan knew about it. Devin knew about it. Until they told you about it, then it was just going to sit there like a souvenir.
Well, you have no idea, Rob. I mean, you say that, but there was a big fight about that souvenir.
Yeah. What? Like, who was going to get to keep it?
Yeah.
I got to use it.
I am not saying more, but yes.
Yeah. But I was really like, oh, yeah, they could have done that. They could have, I mean, the problem was that Ben already had the real idol at the point that it came into circulation of the fake idol. And then, you know, Chrissy is wearing it. I mean, I think what you guys needed to do was hide it so he would find it, but put it out there before he finds the third idol.
Right. Exactly. Like, put it out there that night. Let him find it. Like, stash it wherever. Stash it at the raft.
Yeah.
You know, like, we had paint, so you could have drawn anything anywhere.
Yeah.
And put that idol there.
And you guys had a note also.
Yeah, you had a note. We had notes.
Right.
Because I had found an idol, Ryan had found an idol, and it would have worked.
Mm-hmm. No, it wasn't a bad plan. I was like, oh, yeah, that's what they should have done.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
It was frustrating.
Okay.
Thanks.
Look, always consult Dr. Mike, everybody, when you're out there. That maybe go to him and he can brainstorm with you.
Yeah, I can't cure Survivor Dick, which is real, but I can help you with idol plays and strategy.
Yes. I almost dare not ask, Mike, but what is that condition you're talking about?
Well, no, I think, you know, in general, people tend to wake up with erections and you get like about 6 erections a night, they say.
Yeah.
It's just normal blood flow to your penis. But with malnourishment, you stop getting erections during the day. You stop getting spontaneous erections and you stop waking up with erections.
Maybe some people do.
I mean, I did. Did you? Were you still getting erections every morning when you woke up?
Mike, we're not here to talk about me.
Okay, with Steven?
How do I know? I wasn't there with him.
I mean, come on, you guys are close. Guys are close.
Okay. All right.
JP consulted me about Survivor Dick.
Yes. Okay.
He was like, dude, is it going to come back? I'm like, yeah, it's going to come back.
Like that.
Yeah. All right. Dr. Mike, I want to go back to when Devin ends up writing your name down and then you have the one vote against you at the final five, which is enough to send you home after Ben plays his idol. Did you have a chance to plead your case to the group before the revote?
No, and I should have. So you're not supposed to. You're in what's called lockdown. Mm-hmm. But I should have said, screw this, and just pleaded my case anyway.
Yeah.
You know?
It's the Wild West. You got something to say. You just say it.
Yeah, I should, like, you know, at some point you just have to know how to break the rules and, you know, when to break the rules, like with the sea turtles, right? But like, I should have been like, guys, you cannot beat Devin. You can beat me in the final three. You better take me. You better not vote me off right now.
Yeah.
And if I had said that, I think they would have kept me.
Talk to me about the sea turtle. So that's you said that in that scene where you fall down in the finale, which is, you know, a fantastic scene, that you said you're saving the sea turtles.
Yeah. You know what? We're looking for the idol and Devin and I find a sea turtle nest. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it's literally, I show him that there's a row of sea turtles trying to get to the water that are dead or they look dead. And then we find like 10 sea turtles covered in ants. Because there are ants all over the place out there. And we, you know, I start picking them up and production goes crazy.
Like, why? You're not allowed to? Or their mom is not going to?
They're endangered species. They're not allowed to touch them. Let nature take its course.
Mm-hmm.
But I grew up in Florida saving sea turtles.
Mm-hmm.
And so I'm like, no, this is what you're supposed to do. And, you know, so I was looking around the area just for the ones that looked alive. And the 11th one, I was hiding so production wouldn't see me. And threw it into the water while I pretend to fall and go like, oh, nobody saw that.
Like, you know, so that was an intentional fall? Like,
oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Okay.
And it was probably the most beautiful moment in the entire game of Survivor. And it's like, and then they brought in a sea turtle savior expert, an environmentalist guy, and he saved more. So in total, we saved 22 sea turtles.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. I was happy with that.
Yeah,
and
good
then
job.
Then I went home.
You're a healer.
You think those sea turtles will ever thank me?
No.
Huh.
No. Okay. Dr. Mike, I have so many questions for you from the listeners of the podcast. Is there anything else that you feel like that you have not gotten the opportunity to say about your game? Anything about the sort of, you know, 30, what did you go, 37 days?
37 days.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I think that, yeah, I don't think so. I think that, you know, people ask about like, what other fun things happened out there and stuff. And, you know, what you got, you know, I think, you know, I think Joe got a lot of trash on social media about like saying his steak was not done right. Like, I mean, you guys didn't necessarily see that Joe actually, I think, sent his steak back because it wasn't done right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Or like, you know, like we would have dancing.
So, what are you saying? Like, can you believe the nerve of this guy that he sent the steak back? Or you said that they did, that they messed it up?
No, well, I think it's, I think, right? Like, I mean, you're at like the Survivor Merge feast and Joe's like, this is a feast. I want my steak, right?
Yeah.
Give me a different one.
He wants a well done steak, Mike. Is that malpractice?
I don't think that's quite malpractice. And like, you know, we would come up with dance moves out there. Oh, I got one for you. So we would come out with dance moves out there because we're bored.
Right.
And we, we're making these dance moves and stuff. Like, you know, we would yell out a phrase like lightning, and Devin would have to pretend to be lightning and dance like lightning. We'd come up with these little games. So like we decided to karaoke one night, and I tell you, when I tell you that Ryan has no nourishment, he's super thin, his heart's beating out of his chest, the kid can barely move. He's doing a great job for somebody with like no energy whatsoever. And when I say to him, hey, Ryan, do you like the karaoke? This kid lights up and starts belting out Whitney Houston like it's nobody's business.
Which Whitney Houston song?
Ooh, I want to dance with somebody.
Oh, wow.
I kid you not.
Get him in the wand off.
He's definitely a competitor for the wand off this year. Okay. I mean, if you haven't pissed him off enough and he comes, you know, and he still wants to interact with you.
Why did I piss him off?
Didn't you not answer an email of his or something?
I did eventually answer it, Mike.
Sure you did.
Yeah, I did. I'll send you what I sent him.
Is that it? Is that in like the trove of missing and deleted emails?
Yeah. Yeah. There was an outage that day. All right. Mike, we have so many questions to get to. We're going to bring in Josh Wiggler in a little bit as well. So let me start to bring in some of these questions. Edwin Johnson wants to know from you, Dr. Mike, would you have voted for Devin if he made the finals instead of Ben? So you voted for Chrissy. You told me at the finale, if you had a chance to do it again, you would have voted for Ben. What if Devin was in the mix? And I guess we have to take somebody out of there. So I guess take Ben out. Would you have voted for Devin or still Chrissy?
Yeah, I think I would have voted for Devin against any of them, honestly. I think Devin, you know, Devin is the one guy I feel like he's the guy that survived me, you know, that like tricked me.
Right.
Right? Like I thought like I had all of these people's numbers, I thought, except Devin.
Would he have beat Ben?
I don't know, because Ben does have a good backstory.
Yeah.
But like, I think it definitely would have been a hard, you know, hard play. I think it really, it sounds crazy, but it really depends on Joe. And that's where like I was unsure as well about aligning with Ben. I mean, Joe made such a production of if Ben's in the final three, I'm voting for him. That although I knew I had my three healers, I felt like I have my three healers as long as Ben is not in it. And so I was like balls to the wall trying to get Ben out.
Mm-hmm.
So I, you know, I just don't know who, you know, Ben, Joe has the ability to sway the jury members.
Okay.
Look at the jury. Like Joe, like, could clearly convince Cole, JP, and Desi who to vote for.
He's a persuasive guy, but he's not going to talk me into eating a well-done steak. I'll tell you that right now.
Yeah, we'll see. Okay.
Ryan Patterson wants to know, Dr. Mike, who from this cast would you name your next kid after?
Good question. I do like the name Cole.
Yes. Now, you have your son, Ethan. Are your daughters named after survivors?
No. So on my second date ever with my wife was like, one day when I have kids, my first daughter is going to be named Isabel.
Okay.
And so then like we get married and we have a kid and there's never even a question because I agreed to it on second date. Mm-hmm. And I was just trying to hook up and somehow I agreed on my kid's name.
Yeah.
So that's my first daughter. She's named after, I guess, the Queen of Spain.
Mm-hmm.
And then my third kid, I mean, fortunately, you know, the Jewish custom is to name somebody after somebody that's died.
Mm-hmm.
And we didn't have anybody that had died, which is wonderful.
Mm-hmm.
So we, you know, we had to figure out a name before we left the hospital.
Yeah.
I sort of like the crossover guy-girl name. So like Alexa can be named Lex, like Lex Luthor. It is Isabel can be Izzy or Iz, like, you know, so I like those names. So it was either between like Alexa or Sam. Is there an Alexa that played Survivor?
Alexis.
Right. It's just a fucking stick, Alexis. No, that's Eliza.
That was Eliza. There was an Alexis on that season. There was also a more recent Alexis.
Oh, okay.
So yeah, close enough. Ryan Springer wants to know, what made you interested in pursuing your current profession? I thought this was an interesting question, Mike. So how did you end up getting into urology?
So great question. Thank you. Urology is a great field where you can operate and see those same patients you operate on longitudinally. So in other words, you take out prostate cancer and then you're able to follow that prostate cancer patient for their erectile dysfunction and their leakage and the urinary issues for the rest of their life versus like you take out a gallbladder, the guy's done, you never see them again as a general surgeon.
Mm-hmm.
And so you get to follow this continuity of care, but yet it's a surgical specialty. I mean, also I like to play with dick and balls. Like I went into sexual dysfunction. You know, one of the urologists when I was a resident said, specialize in something, no matter how small it is, if you specialize in something, you'll be the expert in it.
Yes.
And I looked at myself and I was like, no matter how small it is, perfect. I know what to specialize in.
Yeah. So, and you knew right from the jump, like there was no sort of, you know, major decision to be made.
No, you know, and I really like male infertility and the fellowships are sexual dysfunction and infertility. And so I do a lot of both. And so so the sexual dysfunction sort of came with the male infertility. And I just find there's a need out there. Like yeah. Guys need help.
Yeah. What was it like having to tell all the people that work for you that you were, well, I guess you probably couldn't tell them that you were going on Survivor. So what did you end up telling everybody at your practice?
Well, the problem was, is that when I first got that phone call from Caitlin saying,
oh, you told everybody,
we want to bring you out for an interview. I was screaming in the hallway in my office. People were like, what? What's going on? Nice. Exactly. And then Caitlin's like, this is supposed to be a secret. And I'm like, oh. And so it's sort of like people sort of knew. I told them I was going on a research mission to like Indonesia. You'd be amazed how many, like my patients, you'd be amazed how many people know people in Indonesia.
Okay.
And they'd be like, so is he in Jakarta? Well, where is he? Does he want to meet the head rabbi? Like, it's like, no, I don't know anything about Indonesia. Just leave me alone. I'm going to be on a boat off the coast of Indonesia. It's like, I have to come up with this elaborate, like, backstory. It was ridiculous.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So what did you have to do? Did you have to just go along with it? I told people I was going to Prague and then nobody really believed that story.
Yeah. But did they ever think you were going on Survivor?
When I came back and then because I went on Survivor, Mike, and like the game ended for me. I got voted out like on a Thursday and I was back at work on a Monday. And everybody's like, what's wrong with you? What happened to you?
Wait, so when did you get voted out? What place were you?
I was third place, Dr. Mike. I thought you were a super fan.
I'm a fan. I'm not like an Adam Klein. He's like, I mean, these guys, like, I've watched your season, but I probably watched it 12 years ago or something, mm-hmm. or 8 years ago.
Yeah.
I mean, but no, so I went back to work on, you know, on Monday as well. You know, I got home on a Saturday morning and I went back to work on Monday. People mm-hmm. were like,
what did
you look
say?
Really thin. They yeah. were like, you look really thin. What's the matter with you? A couple of people, there were three people out there that looked at me and were like, you went on Survivor, didn't you? And, you know, what could you say? You just sort of smile and walk away.
Mm-hmm.
Smile and wave, boys.
Yeah.
Okay, next question.
Yeah, you don't want to lie to people's faces.
Right, I'm not going to lie to people. Like, it's ridiculous.
Yeah.
Did you, can I ask you a question?
Sure.
Are you hairy?
I don't think I'm more than average hairy. I mean, I think that, you know, I have hair. But
so because of my profession,
yes,
I know that everybody under the age of 35, like, waxes or shaves everything.
No.
Well, that's what they do. Just a fact.
Yeah.
And so, I mean, almost everybody, I guess, under the age of 35. So I didn't want to be the guy out there that was super hairy.
Are we talking like chest hair, Dr. Mike?
Well, I didn't know that you go in your, there's privacy when you go to the bathroom.
Yeah.
So I really didn't want to be the guy with like ass hair.
Okay.
So I went before Survivor and I went and got waxed.
Yeah.
Did you do this? Like, how did you manage your hair before you went on the show? Like, because I wanted to make sure, like, if I shaved, like, it was going to be stubbly and stuff. Like, I went and got waxed. Yeah. I was very much like the 40-year-old virgin. Yeah.
So you went and you got your entire body waxed, Mike?
You want me to tell you the story?
Sure.
So I
you couldn't have just stood over a fire?
I operated at 10. I had another case at 11:30. I went to what, like, I looked up, I Googled, like, where am I? Who does male waxing? And this, like, you know, Asian massage place comes up in Florida.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, okay, just go. I mean, I have 45 minutes. I got to get waxed. And so I go there, and this like lady pulls down my shirt and goes, and I went to Brown. I am very socially liberal. But she said, just like this, you're very hairy. And I'm like, yeah. She goes, I need help. And so I'm thinking like, there's going to be a cute little girl that comes out to like wax me. And this like 6'2" guy with hoop earrings comes out and starts waxing the shit out of me. I didn't know you're supposed to shave first. And it hurts so bad. I'm bleeding. And like his hand, like he's not wearing gloves and his hands are going in places they're not supposed to go. And I'm like, no, do not touch me there. Do not touch me. And I kick him out of the room.
Yeah.
And I look at myself in the mirror and I have like a racing stripe down my back.
What did Barry say?
Well, I had to call Daniel back in.
Yeah.
And I assumed the position. I got on all fours, butt naked, like ball swinging in the air, and I just let him wax away, man.
Yeah.
And then I had no hair. And so, lo and behold, within the first couple hours, I tear my underwear on the ass. And so there's a big, like literally silver dollar hole in my butt, and I didn't have to worry about it because I knew I was clean.
Okay, wait, so this happened on the show that you ripped your underwear?
Yeah, I'm like on a rock in the water. Like Cole and I had the same hole in our underwear from the exact same rock in the exact same place. We called ourselves the assholes for a while.
Okay.
It's not a joke.
I didn't think it was. I didn't think it was. So, Mike, I have a lot of questions for you that are not really related to Survivor.
Okay.
Jenny Autumn, one of your biggest fans, wants to know, you advise that 21 times a month, a minimum, is that the minimum or that's the advised amount, 21 times a month?
If you want to reduce the risk of prostate cancer 21 times, I don't know why 21 times. I guess that's what the study showed.
Yeah.
Like, you know, these study things are like five or more, like less than five to 10, 10 to 20, more than
what
20.
What about 20? So, 20, you're in the danger zone. 21, you're good?
According to the study, yeah.
Okay.
Times. Okay. And Jenny, thank you for the songs. You're amazing.
Yes. She wonder, how does being stuck on an island for 39 days affect this?
I mean, hopefully missing 1 month is not so bad.
Do you have to make up for it? Do you need to get to 42 the next month, your magic number?
It's the answer to life, the universe, and everything. I should have been counting. I mean, I don't know. I definitely did not get to 42 with Barrett.
Yeah. Yet? Or
but maybe, no, I mean, in the month afterward.
Okay.
But she did love me more. I mean, I left on Survivor, and we have a great relationship. When I came back, she loved me more. Like, she wants to hold my hand now.
Still. It hasn't worn off.
Still. But before Survivor, she didn't. Like, no. Nah, we were, like, now, like, in the middle of the night, she'll wake me up and be like, hold my hand. Like, what? Okay.
Yeah. Was that because you were gone for 6 weeks?
I think so. Seven weeks. But yeah, I think that's what it was. She felt like I was dead.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's what it's sort of like, that like there's no communication.
Yeah.
You know, like,
now, there is something to the show about that where it takes everything away from you. And it is sort of like this euphoric feeling of when those things come back to you. And, you know, you do, I do think you try to chase that of like, you never get that feeling again of, you know, how you depriving yourself of something for so long and then, you know, having it come back.
I mean, you're absolutely right. I mean, I think two things. One, I think that Survivor, the hardest part of Survivor is the loneliness, is the like not being able to trust anybody, not being like when you're in a relationship, like I speak to my wife like multiple times a day. Like, you know, somebody like does something annoying, the first thing you do is you call her. Mm-hmm. Like here, like you're thrown under the bus and you're like, shit, like I just want to call my wife and talk to her. And then when you finally get this year, like I'm not an emotional guy. People like, and I was like crying every day on Survivor. I was like, I'm going to be that guy that like is crying and my kids are making fun of me. And that is so not me. But yeah, it's like, it's hard out there. And when you, you know, just the concept of getting those things back, like even in like a letter, you know, like
yeah,
it's a, you're a mess when you come back.
That's why my wife really advocates in our relationship. She says, maybe the longer we go without being intimate, maybe the more I'll appreciate it.
Yeah, but the shorter you'll last. And you want to do like the something about Mary thing, right? Like prepare beforehand.
That's the move. So, you advise that?
I think so. Yeah. I've never been asked that, but yeah, I think it's probably if you want to please her, it's probably a good thing.
Well, we could talk about this off air. We can get into all of that.
It's like, I mean, it's not like it's like the counterclockwise swirl, but it's just
no,
a move.
No, it's a different move. Dr. Mike, Brian wants to know, why did you keep the shirt that was so dirty it turned brown?
It's clean now. I posted pictures of it.
How'd you clean it?
I tied? I mean, maybe they'll give you some money for saying that.
Yeah. As long as you're not eating them, I think they'll give you money.
Yeah. Yeah. No, how can you throw away the shirt?
Mm-hmm.
Let me ask you this, but I did go out and buy the same pair of underwear again, and I call it my lucky underwear because it's like, it's not really the same pair of underwear because it has a hole in it, that pair, but it's like, it reminds me.
Reminds you when you were on Survivor.
Exactly. It's like my lucky underwear.
And how often do you wear it?
Honestly, not a lot. I like looking at it in my underwear drawer thinking like, oh yeah, there's my lucky underwear.
Yeah.
It's like your favorite coffee mug. You don't use it a lot. You're just like looking at it in the cabinet.
Yeah, because you could break it.
Yeah, or just you want to save it for that special occasion.
Okay.
It just never comes.
Edmo wants to know, Dr. Mike, three people from your season get asked to do a second chance season. Which three are getting the call? I'm not sure if this includes you or not. Let's take you out of the equation.
Okay.
Yes.
All right. Who do I think would get the call?
Yes. No. Well, let's say who should get the call instead of who is likely to.
I mean, if it's an all winner season, I think Ben clearly gets the call.
Sure.
You know, I liked Chrissy's idea of like a winner versus final three type season where, because Chrissy was like a challenge beast.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that, I think that would be interesting to see those sort of pitted against each other. Joe, I think, is sort of like a crazy Survivor player. Mm-hmm. I would really like to see like a Tony versus Joni type thing. and then Lauren, like who doesn't love Lauren?
Yeah. Okay.
You know?
It's a good list. Dr. Mike, Felipe wants to know, have you received any unsolicited pictures from the fans, from former contestants, from friends? And by pictures, I think he is speaking about very specific kinds of pictures. Has this been a thing that you have now started getting from people who watch Survivor? Like, are people asking you on Twitter, like, hey, can you diagnose this for me?
So I've made it very clear that there's no medical advice on social media. And people have asked, like, whether it's...
That's not a thing.
Yeah, I can't give medical advice on social media. I don't know how my malpractice insurance would work with that.
Right.
But are they sending dick pics? Like, if people want to send me naked pictures, like, okay. Like, I think, didn't the last girl on your Love Know-It-Alls, Natalie, didn't she say, like, you could send me pictures of yourself shirtless? Like,
yes. And she also said that then when you start interacting with her, then you can send her whatever pictures you want.
Yeah, I mean, you guys can send me whatever pictures, but that would be funny. I'm not going to tell you, like, that's good looking one. That's not a good looking one.
You won't even say that. You won't even say if that's attractive or unattractive.
Sure. I'll say that. I'll say if it's attractive or unattractive. But I assure you that I have plenty of unattractive ones that I could use during my medical talks.
Right. Matt Van Wagenen talked about in First One Out about how you were having a party at your house and on your Apple TV, it started showing all of the genital photos that you had gotten during a party. Was that an embarrassing moment or was that a big hit?
Well, no, it was like a kid's birthday party.
Oh, no. Yeah, well, that's bad.
Yeah. I mean, it's like the Apple TV screensaver comes up and all these, like, you know, the one with like the weight on the dick or the, you know, the guy like I have a dick in a bucket picture from a guy who had his dick chopped off.
Oh,
like,
no.
They're horrible pictures. Like, you know, me holding like a big kidney. Like, it was not good. My wife was so mad. I now have to keep my pictures on my work computer.
All right. And, yeah, don't do that. Be careful. Be careful. John Tinkham wants to know, has anyone told you that they named a kid after you yet?
No. And that would be crazy. Like, what an honor. But I mean, I feel like, again, going back to Jewish tradition, like, you name your kids after dead people. Like, you don't have to name your kids after me.
You don't have to name your kids after survivors.
I want to inspire dads to get off the couch and apply to Survivor and, like, just follow their dream. Like, you know what happens, Rob, is that, like, all of us, like, have these dreams and, like, we have these, like, images of how our life's going to end up. And then, like, you get married, which is awesome, and you have kids, which is awesome. But, like, nobody thinks about, like, what their dreams are supposed to be in their 40s to 60. Like, all of a sudden, it's like, oh, what am I supposed to do now? Like, wait till I retire? Like, I get 1 week a year to go on vacation, and I'm going on a Disney cruise?
Right.
Which is fun, but, you know, it's like follow your dreams. Like, keep your family involved, but you have to come up with the dream and, like, love it and live it. You know?
Yeah.
That's what I hope I inspire people to do.
Well, that's a good point, Dr. Mike. So yeah, you got to go do a thing. And then were people saying, like, oh, what's this? Your midlife crisis? Were people being scoffing at what you were doing?
No, I think they're all sort of like, they were all sort of like, oh yeah, Mike's going to be the first one out. And because I made it so far, people are just sort of like, wow, Mike, you're actually sort of a badass.
Mm-hmm.
Well, they're just lying to me. That's what they tell me. Mm-hmm. Nobody thinks I'm a badass.
I think you're a badass, Dr. Mike.
Yeah, that's because you're Rob.
Because I'm so not a badass. Is that what you're saying, Dr. Mike?
No, we're like the same like archetype of character, of person, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I think I have the like. Nobody is following me on social media because I'm so good looking.
Right? You don't know that. You don't know that. How has Barry dealt with all of your reality TV fame?
So I was never on social media before this, and I think it drives her and the girls in my office crazy when I, like, I'm tweeting or I'm laughing at something or I'm forcing them to listen to the wand off.
Mm-hmm.
But they enjoy it. I mean, they've really, like, Barry, like, we had people over at the house every week to watch Survivor. And there's something fun about that. That's awesome. You know? Yeah.
What would you guys do? Have a big party?
Yeah. I mean, we had like somewhere between like 50 and 150 people at the house every week. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, and yeah, I mean, just, it was awesome. We had a couple TVs going and everybody sitting on the couch. One of the super fans like that lives in my town was like, tweeted me once like, hey, can I watch with you? Mm-hmm. I was like, sure, come on over.
Yeah.
And then her and her family came over. It was like, what's going on here? Like, you know, I was running late, so they just came into my house, and my wife had no idea who they were.
Yeah. And has Survivor impacted your business at all? Like, do you have people like, no, I want Dr. Mike to do my vasectomy?
They should. Guys, come on. I'll do a vasectomy. I'll live stream it if you want me to.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Where, on Twitter?
Sure. Joe had said that I could do his vasectomy and live stream it.
Mm-hmm.
I'm still like, imagine that. I mean, that would get a lot of hits, I think.
See, right. I wouldn't have an issue with you doing mine, but I would like intentionally not want you to live stream it. I think that
like
that would
be operating on Coco's nuts.
Right. Yeah.
Here's like, what's not to love? But no, I mean, I had one patient that literally I walked into the room and he had a panic attack because he didn't realize that his doctor was Dr. Mike. He was a new patient.
Yeah.
But besides that, I don't think people are coming to see me because I'm Dr. Mike from Survivor,
mm-hmm.
but they can. I mean, I'm happy to see them.
So you haven't had somebody who is coming in and like feigning a problem just to get to meet you?
Maybe one
person did that.
Yeah. You know who you are.
Yeah. Dr. Mike.
Gas Wiggler. Oh, HIPAA. No, I'm kidding. It was not Josh Wiggler.
Dr. Mike, I know you've been very excited for this podcast because I know that you've been working on something that you wanted to debut on the podcast. Do you feel ready at a point where you can share what you've been working on?
What have I been working on?
Your impression.
Oh, no, it's really bad. It's like, hey, guys, it's Rob here, and welcome to Rob Has a Podcast. Our guest today is Dr. Mike. That's it. That's all I got. What's your impression of me?
Well, you want to interview me as you?
So, Dr. Mike, what is the definition of micropenis?
Rob, is that something that you're suffering with? It's that people should not be have any embarrassment that a micro penis is a common condition where you're not giving me anything back. You're not laughing. I feel like you're getting mad.
We're not talking about me here. That's all I got. I think that's an epic fail.
Yes.
It's another plan of mine that didn't work.
Another plan that didn't work. Okay. Well, yeah. Hopefully.
But if you tell me I can't imitate you, I'll come back with a good imitation.
Yes. Yes. Never underestimate Dr. Mike. All right. Dr. Mike, we also have some business to get to here today. Can we patch in the co-host of The Wiggle Room? Or actually, I guess, is he the host and I'm the schlub that's also there on The Wiggle Room? I'm not sure. But let's patch in Josh Wiggler, if that's okay with you.
Yeah, and that's fine. I love Wiggle, Wiggle, Wiggle.
Hello. Are you there? Josh Wiggler, are you there?
Hello, this is Josh Wiggler calling, yes. Or I guess receiving a call.
Josh Wiggler on the line, and...
Hello, Josh!
Hey, whoa, Dr. Z, how's it going?
How are you? This is... Welcome to my podcast!
I am so excited to be here. I'm honored to be on your podcast, Dr. Mike. Dr. Mike, I regret to inform you that I still have not finished reading The Blade itself, but I'm working through it.
The Blade itself, the next two are really good. The Blade itself, you got to get into it, but it's okay.
That's not a ringing endorsement, though. You told me to get like halfway through the book, and yeah, I'm like a little past halfway, and I'm still struggling.
Yeah, I hear you. It gets better.
I know you know a thing or two about the slow burn.
Yeah, Josh, do you have any questions for Dr. Mike?
I have a lot of questions for. almost all of them are inappropriate for podcasts, or at
it's
least
not an ingrown hair. It's a wart, man. Just get it removed.
That was supposed to be private, Mike.
Oh, sorry, I forgot.
Doctor patient privilege.
Yes, you're not a patient of mine.
No, my question is, how's the podcast been going so far? Is it good? What do you think the reaction is going to be? I'm coming in towards the end here, I assume.
Good reaction. The Dr. Mike fans will be happy.
I mean, is this actually going to air what we're talking about?
We're on. What do we tell you? This is like a chat line, a party line, Dr. Mike?
All right. I mean, I do like Josh and I could be the sex know-it-alls.
Yes.
Or the sex, and you guys could be the love know-it-alls because we don't necessarily know about.
So me and Steven are the love know-it-alls, and you and Wiggler are the sex know-it-alls?
I don't know about this, Mike. I think you gotta find another co-host.
What do you think the best way to orchestrate a menage a trois is, Josh?
Oh my God. I'm in a trap. I feel trapped. I feel like I've got no good way out of this scenario other than to say I'm not the right fit for this one. Well, I'm a poor choice.
Dr. Mike, do you have advice like that?
I think so. I mean, I have lots of advice.
But you said none of your plans work.
None of my plans work, but I have good advice.
Barry can't still hear that you're doing this podcast, right?
She left.
Yeah.
She went to go pick up the kids.
I could definitely, in the beginning, when we first started, Barry was around. Dr. Mike was on a much shorter leash here.
Oh, my God. Barry is spectacular. So I don't know. But this is frightening territory we've gotten into here. I thought I was here for test results. I didn't realize I was going to be tested myself.
But we're like hours into the podcast here. Nobody is listening except for Adam Klein. Like, maybe Ryan is listening as well, but nobody is listening to this podcast at this point.
You're underestimating the audience, Dr. Mike. Just like,
and I'm telling you that, like, this is advice I learned. There was one person on the island that was very good at this advice, and they gave me this advice.
Okay. All right. Well, that we'll have to guess.
Blind item. Oh my gosh. Blindside item.
Guess who the person is.
Okay. And they had to have played with you so we can cross off a couple of people as well. So it's really down to like 14 people.
Uh-huh. Yeah, okay. I mean, there were like some crazy peeps out there.
All right. Well, all right, Dr. Mike, you have titillated the senses. We have some work to do here, though, with Josh Wiggler. And so we are here to now learn the results, the highly anticipated results of the first ever final wand off competition. And I believe that you have the test results.
It feels appropriate, right, that Dr. Mike is the man who has the wand off results. Like, I feel like this is the right way to go.
Yes. Dr. Mike is continuing to text me details of what he's talking about. Dr. Mike, we need to focus on the podcast.
Focus up, Dr. Mike.
Yeah, but it was a funny text, though, right?
Yes, very good. Very good.
It's crazy. So, okay. Yes, I have the wand off results. I mean, I'm super happy. I mean, what was the Dr. Mike song again? How does that go? Can we play that one?
Okay, so what do you want? Which one do you want to hear?
I think he wants to hear the I mean, we're already in explicit territory at this point, so.
So like, got something stuck in your penis?
Yes. This was not one of the contenders. This is what we closed off the final wand off with.
Yo, it's Dr. Mike from Survivor here. Let's talk about something serious. Don't stick things in your penis, but if you do, make sure you can get it out. Otherwise, you know where to find me.
Yeah. And you still stand by that advice, right, Dr. Mike?
Yes. And that was a writing candidate, and I have the results, and they won. Good job, guys. Don't change the results. I saw that there are 50,000 text messages that got deleted. Somehow they are not there anymore. And all 50,000 of them voted for this song.
Right. I had the tabulator get in touch with Dr. Mike, and now the tabulator's head is exploding right now. Don't call an audible and throw the results in the fire, Dr. Mike.
Fine. Okay. So third place, bronze with 16.11% of the vote.
Hold on, Josh, are you ready for this?
I'm very nervous. I mean, there's a lot invested in the results of the final wand off. Though that being said, like, I'm also thinking right now, like, did we set a prize or anything, or is this just glory at
glory,
this point?
Right?
Glory.
I'll give them a vasectomy for free.
A free vasectomy. I mean,
like, the winner of the wand off gets a free vasectomy.
Wow. Is that like, is there an expiration date, or is that just like any future use?
Actually, no expiration date. For 40 years. The expiration date is in 40 years.
Wow. What's the retail value on a vasectomy?
I think if like through insurance, it's like maybe like $700 or something.
Yeah.
Like that.
What if there's you don't have insurance?
There's one guy in New York that supposedly charges like $5,000 to do a vasectomy because in New York, if it's expensive, it's better. Hmm. So he's like, I just tell people I must be the best because I'm the most expensive. I can't get away with that.
All right.
Gosh, I just have to use the shtick, like, see if the ball survive by Survivor Mike.
Okay.
Third place, which is oddly inappropriate, is Shannon and Will with the Disney medley.
Okay.
I can show you the world. Shannon and Will, congratulations on third place.
That was the Ben Driebergen endorsed number three.
Yes. Yes, that was a good song. That was a very, very good song.
Very good song.
Yeah, a great team, Shannon and Will. I hope to hear more from them in the Ghost Island wand off. Maybe some spooky medleys could be in store.
Yes. Uh-huh. Okay.
Okay, number two with 23.95% of the votes. In silver place, Adam B. with Survivor Not Big Brother, Hallelujah.
Yes.
Hallelujah. Oh, my gosh.
Like, I was running to that one this morning.
Yeah.
And it was like,
how do you think your fellow coconut is feeling about a second place for his boy, Adam B?
Oh, that's that guy.
Yeah.
That's that guy.
He must be good. He must. I think Joe must be happy about that. What's not to be happy about? You got second place.
He has a voice that's too pure for the wand off. Honestly, the wand off is a ridiculous thing, and Adam B should genuinely be on The Voice.
Okay. All right. And now, very exciting.
How do you know that?
I've been doing the wand off all season. I'm invested at this point.
Yes. Okay. Very exciting. Okay. All right. Dr. Mike has the results. Okay. Dr. Mike.
Okay. There's the final with first place and gold medal and a free vasectomy. DJ LaBelle and Klein.
Wow.
The RAJP Can-Can.
Wow.
Yes, congratulations. Congratulations. And
Casey, how do you feel right now? Casey Kasem, how do you feel?
Very excited, and I'm hoping that Dr. Mike can give me a free autopsy.
Oh my God. I don't know if ghosts are eligible for the procedure.
Yeah.
Only on Ghost Island.
On Ghost Island, maybe, yes.
Okay. I mean, yeah, no. See, now that RHAP song, it really wasn't about the want. Like, the season, though, was about you guys. Again, the fix is in. Mm-hmm. I'm pretty sure that Colin and Jenny had a song in there, like the Queen song.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's weird. I got this slide that says Colin and Jenny, and then it's crossed out, and it says LaBelle and Klein.
Wow. That seems like fake news, Dr. Mike.
Okay, that's completely fake news.
Mike,
I thought
that this was your favorite song from the season.
Mike, the man-bit surgeon, lived by the sea.
I'm
where
dancing
there
here.
The
I'm
knights
like
of Solewa would not let healers be.
Didn't you say that you were going to put that on your website?
Yeah, I still have to. I really want to.
Is that the hold music when we call your office?
It is about to become the hold music.
Yes, send me the soundbite of that one.
Okay.
I think you sent me the soundbite of the other one, but send me the soundbite of that one, and I will try. So is the bell? Is DJ LaBelle and Klein? Is that?
That is not Brett LaBelle. It is not Brett LaBelle.
Somebody who has like channeled the soul and spirit of Brett LaBelle, though, similar to how I channeled the soul and spirit of one Wanda Shirk. It's like it's a pale imitation, but it's definitely the spirit is there.
Yeah.
Because I was wondering if anybody is being arrested in Boston. You know, he has time to make these wand off songs.
No, it is not.
It is
not.
Social media. Like, isn't he like a detective or something?
Yes. He has a beautiful singing voice that he sings the opening to our live shows on the road. But that is not Brett LaBelle on the wand off.
I can't believe we really need to just like take a moment to just like congratulate DJ LaBelle Klein, the relatively anonymous DJ LaBelle Klein, mm-hmm. who kind of burst out of nowhere towards the end of the wand off season. And got in with his Lauren Rimmer hype anthem, I believe, was his first real hit. He had a great Bare Naked Ladies parody. He got two tickets to the wand off, and then he won the whole thing. That's a huge, huge move. Big move. And now he gets a free vasectomy with a 40-year expiration.
Wow.
Who knew?
It's all happening.
Who not?
But there's no anesthesia involved, okay?
No anesthesia.
Oh,
can you pay extra for that? Can you pay extra? Yeah. Is that not free?
Yeah, that's $5,000.
Give him anesthesia if you want. Right, that's $5,000. Yes. No, we give them local usually, and local. Then but if they really want to go to sleep, we can put them to sleep too.
Yeah, put me out for that.
Oh my god,
DJ LaBelle, okay. LaBelle and Klein. So you're telling me it's not Anna Klein either?
It's not Adam Klein. It's not anybody that you know.
This is hard to believe.
Yeah.
All right. It is a little hard to believe.
But it sounds like it's people that I want to know.
You do want to know them.
I would really like to know.
Maybe send me some pictures.
First ever champion of the Wanda.
Yeah. Mike, how's your penis to photo ratio going?
It's not been going well lately. So my penis to photo ratio, Josh, is that my goal. So my wife is like, you're playing Survivor, you're all over social media. Come on, like, just go back to working. And I'm like, is it so bad that I enjoy having people taking pictures of me more than I enjoy looking at male genitals all day long? So I have this penis to photo, like, we call it like the dick pic ratio, like the penis to picture ratio, where it's like, how many penises did I see today versus how many people asked to take a picture with me? And like these days, it's like 25 to 1, 30 to 1. Yeah. And that one is a selfie that I'm taking.
So like that, those 15 minutes, they fly fast, Dr. Mike.
They did. They're gone. They're gone. Like I now have to like go into big venues. Like, you know, the highlight of it was like some lady at Epcot let me go on the Fast Pass line.
Oh.
I was Dr. Mike.
Yeah.
She was like, oh, I know you. You come this way.
You need to go to Disney World with Stephen Fishback in a couple of months.
Yeah.
He could use
Mike, what do you think of a bachelor party at Disney World? Does that sound like a good idea?
Horrible. I mean, I say to you guys, come down to Miami. I'll take you fishing. I'll take you boating. You can try to like kite surf even, right? Like there are enough bars down. Yeah. Does that sound fun? Like we could do like Stephen and you guys, you can even crash at my house if you want and I'll take you guys out.
Okay. But,
yeah. I mean, going to Disney World, like that's just, it's strange, man.
Yeah.
Like, are you going to stand in line to take photos with the princesses and with like Goofy also? I mean, it's like, I just don't get it.
By the end of the weekend, Stephen will be Goofy. That's what's going to happen. It's getting a new job.
Dr. Mike, well, we've talked about it all. We've gone from hall passes to fast pass. Now here we are ready to get off. Anything else that you want to let the listeners or Josh Wiggler know about?
Yeah, I mean, seriously, guys, thank you, Josh. Thank you for all your great work. Rob, thank you for all your great work. I mean, all of this has been fun. And I mean, you guys really have allowed me to live my dream. And you've
the least we could do, Dr. Mike.
The crazy part is that I even think Reddit likes me. Like, everybody's, Reddit's so mean.
That's when they turn on you, Mike. Be careful. Tread lightly.
Yeah, like, I mean, like, thank you, guys. I mean, seriously, like, this was great. Thank you.
Yeah. All right.
Dr. Mike, my best friend and his brother send their regards. They loved meeting you on the red carpet. That was a pleasure for them.
Yes, where we almost got decapitated.
Yes, we almost got killed in the collapsing.
It was very windy. It was very windy and lights were blowing all over the place. Dr. Mike, I didn't ask you, would you play again? I feel like you would, but I didn't ask you.
You got to ask Barry. I mean, can I play the Amazing Race instead?
I mean, so she can go?
Who really wants to go out there?
But you're really just following the Ethan Zahn career path is what you're trying to do there.
Oh, maybe. You're right. Like that's like it's like eating, going back on Survivor is probably like having a painful Thanksgiving dinner where like, you know, like the food is really bad, but yet you're looking forward to it if it's going to happen again. You know, it's like you don't really want it to happen, but you sort of do. I don't know. Like, how can you say no? If they ask, how can you say no?
Like, you figure it out. Yeah. Okay. Dr. Mike. Of course, the great Dr. Mike.
The best Dr. Mike.
Yes. Who?
And this is coming from someone whose father is a Dr. Mike. So you're the best Dr. Mike, Dr. Z.
Thank you.
Now, Dr. Mike, how are you not verified on Twitter? How do they drop the ball on this?
I don't know how to do the verification.
Okay.
Something
has gone horribly wrong over at Twitter. They need to open up an investigation into this. Why has Dr. Mike not been verified?
Yes. Why aren't I ever? I don't even know what it means to be verified. Like,
we need parody accounts.
Nobody does. Yeah.
We need fake Twitter accounts for Dr. Mike in order to force Twitter's hand into verifying Dr. Mike. We need at time traveling Dr. Mike. We need at fat Dr. Mike.
All right. Well, Dr. Mike, thank you so much for spending so much time with me today. I know how busy you are. Can't imagine how many, you know, hours of lost work there were because of the recording and the preparation for this.
That's funny. I mean, I feel like, guys, seriously, I feel like I'm one of the guys. Like, I don't know if everybody that comes on your podcast feel this way, but I feel like I'm like one of you guys.
Yes.
That's awesome. You know, what? Yes, everybody feels that way?
No. Not everybody feels that way. A lot of people feel like it's a chore. They don't really want to be here.
See, you have the ability to make people feel special, Rob.
That's not what my wife tells me.
It's true.
Do the kids say
it's
that?
It's one of your superpowers, Rob, for sure. We all feel special in your presence.
Thank you both. Thank you both so much. All right. Well, Josh, I'll let you get back to work. I know that you are very busy right now.
I'm in the middle of stuff, and that is all I can say for
stuff.
A few more days. And then we'll be able to.
Can I ask you a question, Josh? When does the first one out for the next season come out?
I don't know. That's a great question. Who knows if there's even going to be one? Who knows if there'll even be one?
I heard there's going to be a next season.
Is that what you've heard? Is that the rumor?
I heard a rumor that they're going to have another Survivor season.
Yeah, there's going to be another Survivor season for sure.
Like there are ghosts or something. Yeah. Yes. All right.
Dr. Mike, do you believe in ghosts?
My wife does.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think I do. Do you?
I don't know what to believe, Dr. Mike.
Why? This is a really turning into a really horrible podcast. But why don't you know you know about ghosts? I mean, have you ever had a ghostly experience?
I have not, but I don't want to be so arrogant as to say I know everything.
Like, would you go into like a haunted house?
No.
Are you scared of ghosts?
Yeah, I think if there were ghosts somewhere, I wouldn't want to go there.
Would you rather go into a haunted house or have a rectal exam?
I would rather have the rectal exam. I feel like
you really are scared of ghosts.
Yeah, well, I feel like, and then also I would know if I had something wrong.
Yeah.
It's like
and
a
who's
win-win.
To say that you're not getting a rectal exam in the haunted house?
Yeah.
Sure. Actually, can I ask you a question about a rectal exam?
Sure.
This is a medical question. I guess it's for the listeners.
I think Josh is going to hang up pretty soon.
No, Josh isn't going to hang up about this one. So I had one patient come in once because he said he felt a nodule on his prostate.
Okay.
And I was like, you felt a nodule on your prostate? And he was like, yeah, are you telling me that other people don't do self-exams?
Hmm.
Does anybody do that? Like, and no one else has ever said this to me, but does anybody self-examine their prostate?
You can do that?
I think it's possible, but does anybody do that? That's my question. Like, I don't know.
I don't know.
Is that the hashtag do you self-exam? Is that how we're ending this?
Is that your hashtag, Dr. Mike?
You got to put up a poll on Twitter, Dr. Mike, and we can come back next season and give us the results of that test as well.
Well, Dr. Mike has no problems helping people get their poll up.
That's right. But I couldn't rise to the occasion.
No.
Number five.
No, sadly, that was as far as Dr. Mike could rise.
With the end in sight, can Mike rise to the occasion?
No.
That's a good hashtag, though. Mike rises to the occasion, or I think it all goes back to the Jenny and Colin song. You got something stuck in your love pipe. You should go see Dr. Mike.
Well, so what's the hashtag?
No, that's the whole hashtag.
If you have something stuck in your love pipe, call Dr. Mike.
We're in a 280 character world, Rob. Anything goes at this point.
About just the hashtag RHAPP.
RHAPP. Okay.
Yeah, hey, Josh, that's our coupon code for Fleshlight.
Okay.
Rob has a pocket pussy.
I feel like I've got a lot to catch up on when I get off the phone here and have to listen to this full podcast. I'm alarmed. Yeah. I'm alarmed. I'm
Dr.
alarmed.
You could talk to Josh Wigler offline about that.
Oh, gosh. So terrifying.
Dr. Mike needs a spokesperson,
okay,
Josh. Okay. All right. Dr. Mike. Yes. Sorry.
You got to go.
Yeah.
I'm not talking about disaster.
Right, follow Dr. Mike on Twitter. He's at Mike Zahalski. Thank you so much, Dr. Mike.
No, thanks, guys, for having me. This was great.
Okay. All right.
Hi, guys.
All right. Take care.
Yeah.
Bye.
So, Josh, how much of your part do you want me to cut out of this podcast?
All of it. All of it. Everything. Everything that just happened. What just happened?
I told you Barry was around the first half that we recorded. And then I don't think she was around the second half. And we really got out of control.
Oh, my gosh. It certainly sounds that way. I feel like I'm going to be experiencing this podcast like Memento, which gets scarier as you get closer to the start. Yes. Yeah. Oh, my God. It was a good time. Did you have fun, though?
Yes, it was a very fun morning here talking with Dr. Mike. And so that's the last of my Survivor 35 long form interviews, Josh.
Oh, my God. That's it. That's all you got.
That's
you got
it.
Nothing more.
I got to save some people for Survivor 36 season. I know I love this cast. There's a lot of people I want to get to, but, you know, I can't just hit everybody here in the off season. And then, you know, it's week two and then I'm bringing people back there and people are like, oh, why do you have to hear from this person again? It's like, no, we're saving something for the season. Trust me on this.
Forward looking. We got to look towards tomorrow's horizon.
Myself.
Yes. Yes. Pace yourself is a great call. That could have been a hashtag. I don't know.
Yeah. Okay.
The whole thing. Well, congratulations on getting to the end, finally, of your season 35 coverage. Very exciting. Great job all around. And 36, just around the corner.
Thanks so much to Dr. Mike. Thanks so much to Josh Wigler for calling in. Of course, if you missed our Ben or Chrissy interview, go ahead and check those out on robhasawebsite.com. We got a lot of great stuff coming up. If you want to get the inside scoop on everything, check out our Patreon page for all of our behind the scenes podcasts and additional material and the Facebook group and all that stuff. Go to robhasawebsite.com/patron for more information. And here to play us out, the winner of the season 35 final wand off, DJ Brett LaBelle with the RHAP Can Can.
R-H-A-P, this one is a meta song. R-H-A-P, and it is a bit too long. R-H-A-P, not about the finale. R-H-A-P, which was fine to me, but I'd much rather sing a song about the podcast, not the show. Are you ready? Here we go. Let's start it off with Rob C. Steven gives a fishy. Mike and Liana, they run the B&B. And Josh with the Wonderazzi. 1 + 1 = 3, unless you let Kalish do the math. Then listen to Jess and David. Know the rules, obey it, or they will dissect the reason that you lost. And though your head may be spinning, I'm only beginning, cause I'm going to name off all the guests. There's T-Berg, Zeke, Tom, Colin, Kasker, Corin, Kevin, AJ, Mass, Brad, Monica, then Hannah, Haley, Puya, Nicole, the First Lady, Mayo, Fairplay, Megan, Z, Nick, Gaia, Danza, Todd, Alley, Bryce, Belke, Paul, Sophie, Bowser, Bree, Brett, Jeremy, Dalton, Angie, the LFC, Jessica, Lisa, Antonio, Tyson, David, Ethan, Jordan, Kiva. Then, of course, we have the live show, New York, Austin, Reno. If you didn't go, then you were missing out on Kim, Burton, Hammonds, Missy, Reynolds, Mike, and Suri, Adam, Brett, and Colby, Donaldson. I'm sure there are people I've missed. I hope they are not pissed. Final shout out to the editors and patrons last. Our hustler, healer, hero, Rob, Sister Nino. Thank you for the ride. I can't wait till we get to season 36. Big Brother, an amazing race will be my fix. Till then, congrats to Ben, last mention to Casey Kasem. I guess I have too much free time to sit and think of words that rhyme. I just want to do so that I thank you all.